you'd like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Are you still there?
Hello.
Yes, hi, you're on the air.
Hello. Yes, I'm not the same caller. I'm a new caller.
Hello, new caller.
I heard the overlap there of the conversation. I realized you must be speaking.
Can you turn down your radio all the way, please?
I'm sorry?
Can you turn your radio off, please?
Can you turn down your radio off?
Oh, yes.
You have to turn it off because we get this double feedback here.
Double feedback.
Hi there.
Hi, I'm so glad that you were calling for calm. And people were calling with negativity and complaints, and you finally got someone that had a calming effect. The gentleman that grew his 40 avocado trees in his apartment. I thought that was, it just made me feel better to hear that. And I'm so glad that you, hello?
Yes, what about you?
How about me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm calling because I reacted to your use of the word apartment. And I think you're absolutely correct about the apartment.
Is this an old one or a new one?
Apartment.
I like an old one.
Uh-huh.
Because you're basically apart from the others that are around you, be it by wall.
DJ breathes like Tony Soprano.
By the psychology. I often ride in the elevator in my own building, and everyone stares straight ahead like they're in a subway car.
Yeah.
And to me, it's very sad. Now, personally, excuse me, I just got a bit choked up. Personally, I belong to a group of like-minded people that are, we call ourselves Little Brains. We do that because we're big fans of Michael Mara's Paint, Don Geronimo's Tasticles, and the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to join?
Well, I don't know. Cancel that, would you? I don't know, but there should be a bleep in there.
Uh-huh. Cancel that, will you?
Cancel.
Oh, wow.
Let's hear one more.
Yes.
Now, you know, we don't have to take phone calls.
Good morning, you're on the air.
Oh, for my goodness sake, let me turn down the radio. Oh, but some sort of news.
His dialect's killed me. He's worse than I am with a dialect. Swear to Christ.
Oh, God.
How you doing over there, Metamucil?
I'm doing great.
Hey, you sound better.
A little better. If I keep it in a low register, I can talk.
Oh, that's good.
That's a clue for you, Mike.
Yeah.
Metamucil?
And to Buzz's health.
Your clue is Metamucil.
His melody. And now back to the wacky phone call.
Wrong location.
Already. In progress.
Oh. Echo. Echo. Oh. Echo. That was great.
Yeah, there is an echo. I can hear that.
Yeah, that was fascinating. I have to say my crap detector went off when that last person started saying someone's name on the radio.
Yeah,
it's a shame we don't have a 7 second delay.
I just want to say I used to go to the club scene back in I started in the 70s.
Okay.
There were a couple of years where I just decided, you know, screw this, I'm going to stay home. So I would sit home and watch television. But then the 80s came along and it became fun again. And one type of club that you didn't mention is before it became very dirty to go to these places, you go to the place where people were dancing naked and peeing and throwing BM at each other. And it was a lot of fun, to tell you the truth, if you wore a plastic sheeting.
Wait a minute. What were the names of these places?
Oh, I don't remember. This is down in New York. But it was a lot of fun watching people exhibiting farfalotis at the blowhole. And there was a lot of times where I believed that many people should have joined the Joe Ardinger Taint Society of BM Eaters Anonymous. And do you ever listen to the Don and Mike Show?
Actually, I do listen to Don and Mike. Let him go.
That's so
funny because he listens to Joe Ardinger, and I know exactly who he's talking about.
Good morning.
We just got slimed.
That's okay.
Hello.
Hello. laptop.
Dumbass. Be warned, this is extremely graphic, so if you have small children in the room, don't let them disturb you.
I didn't hear. Here we go.
Shut up!
5 seconds and then you can boo, okay? At least let me talk first.
Shut up!
Thank you.
What about the vagina?
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
I can't pee in public bathrooms.
Ah, what glorious goo.
Oh, here we go. Here's Big Al.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody, especially hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hi there. Don and Mike show. What's happening, Little Brain?
No, Kelly Clarkson.
Faggot.
We are Little Brain. Little Brain's just like you.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone can call the show.
Tiny Brain.
877-365-3636. Come on, Howard, jam.
MHK.
Yeah.
Hi. I don't know if we're starting or not.
I'm sorry
I did that.
It was a bad thing.
I'm embarrassed that I did that.
Well, you know, it's important if we're going to talk about this before American Idol.
Wow. It must be.
Buzz News.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I mean, you dropped a bomb on me.
Okay, so here's the dealio, kids. This morning, I'm on the computer, scatlovers.com.
Your favorite website where you log lots of time.
I use my real name there. Look for me under M Source.
You were surfing on your cell phone.
You log there, don't you?
Ah, what glorious goo.
That's what I say. That's my other name, Glorious Goo.
GG.
Double G.
How's it going, GG?
So anyway, I'm just watching, all the happenings, and all of a sudden it says, you got an instant message from Buzz Burbank.
Right.
Let me read the first part of our transcript.
Oh, these are medical documents?
Oh, dear. They might as well be.
Instant messaging,
Mike. Okay, very good.
So.
Instant mail.
The Burbank writes, good morning, Don. It's Buzz. I write back, hi. He writes, I'm doing show prep. I write back, can you speak? He writes, my voice is shot. I've called 3 doctors. Mm-hmm. I don't write back. He writes, they don't suspect permanent damage.
Right.
Permanent damage?
They don't expect that.
That's what he wrote.
No, I'll be
then,
fine.
Then the next thing he writes is, they say time and powerful steroids should do it.
That's right.
Then he writes, I hope the steroids will work by showtime.
Yes.
Then I write, what did they say is wrong? Mm-hmm. And he writes, damaged vocal cords. They become gelatinous in this situation.
Yes.
Gelatinous?
They're supposed to be tight and taut. That's how they vibrate.
Right,
and make
gelatinous.
Sound.
Rosie O'Donnell's ass.
That's true.
That sounds like, I hear gelatinous, I think melting.
Then he writes,
steroids
should tighten them up so they will work well again.
He's got some sort of device over there.
We'll use an asthma spray, but I won't inhale deeply.
Right.
Enough to surround the vocal cords.
Right. With the steroids.
Still waiting to hear back from my 3rd doctor.
Did.
And then it goes back on with, you know, you're my BFF, ROFL.
XXLOL.
So then the truth comes out a little while later when, once again, I'm online and chatting with Buzz, and then I see I get messages, and I call him up and I say,
You know, we're buddies. Really, what's going on with this thing? I mean, is it allergies? What? I don't really follow that. You have a gelatinous throat.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere.
And it's not allergies.
Yesterday, the whole thing yesterday, right?
Right.
And he said, well, I'm very embarrassed.
I am.
And as soon as he said, I'm very embarrassed, yeah. I said, you know, hey, unless unless you got that accident, you know, being in that D.C. Madam's book, Madame, right. You know, and Marsha like clubbed you in the neck with a rolling pin or something. Right. You know,
yeah, but of course, being in that Madam's book would on this show would be a badge of honor.
Share it with us. You know, I mean, you know, right, you know. So he finally said, okay, now I'll explain.
Is this all in writing, or is he speaking to you at this point?
No,
we're
no.
We're on the phone.
This is now he's speaking, and I'm writing it down.
Right.
So he says, okay, and I'm now writing this down.
And he says he's embarrassed.
Yes, he's embarrassed. Then he says, okay, the truth. And then all I wrote down, my notes are as follows. Took too much Metamucil.
True.
With my power shake.
No, not quite, but keep going.
Protein shake. Well, hold on.
I'll explain the overdose.
Took two doses of Metamucil with my protein drink. Forced vomiting.
Yes.
Wait, hold on. Wait, I'm just overloaded with information here.
If I may.
I need to...
jump in, Mike.
I need to ask some questions here. This
jump
is extremely
in.
Important. Right. Too much Metamucil.
Right.
That led
to... never too much Metamucil, Buzz.
That's the butt. Everything I know medically, that's for the bottom.
I had a weekend of junk food. So to clear out my system, as I do occasionally, I took Metamucil. Unfortunately, I accidentally took a double dose. Here's why. I drink a protein shake every day. Requires two scoops of protein powder. Metamucil only requires one scoop. I forgot the difference. I put in two scoops. That's double the recommended dosage. If you have a full meal on top of that, that's quite a lot of stuff expanding in your gut.
Oh,
I was in pain from the pressure.
So that induced vomiting?
No, I was in pain from the pressure, so to try to relieve the pressure.
He forced vomiting.
I did.
You did like a bulimia thing?
I stuck my finger in my mouth and triggered the gag reflex so I would throw up and relieve the pressure. And
when did you do all this?
Unfortunately, most of the food and Metamucil had already passed out of my stomach, and so my stomach was empty, so it was a dry heave. So
and
I injured my vocal cords.
At the moment of the dry heave.
Doing that, yeah.
And
but
so you came out of the dry heave and you felt all of a sudden your voice is gone.
No, I was fine. I mean, I could talk. And I went to bed. I had a full night's sleep. And I got up in the morning and I could talk. And as the day progressed, you witnessed it here. The voice went away.
And all did you damage the vocal cords when you put the finger down there? Or did you damage them by the retching?
The dry heave, the retching, yeah.
That can do that?
Well, the way I did it, it did.
But the doctor said that?
How much friggin' Metamucil did you take?
Double the dose. Normally it's one scoop, and I used to.
Define the scoop.
A heaping tablespoon.
But two tablespoons.
And remember, it's
of Metamucil.
Remember, it's like a sponge. It expands.
Yeah, but it doesn't expand to stomach-bursting capabilities.
It doesn't. Wouldn't they have to have some gigantic, sticker on the outside saying, be careful, don't take more than two teaspoons full.
And I'm sure people double up on that. You said that by the time you induced, I'm so goddamn confused.
The word was forced.
By the time
forced
you forced vomiting, you said that the stuff was out of your stomach. So why? Because you had gone number
two
down there?
No. It hadn't acted. It had passed out of my stomach. The full dinner that I had and the Metamucil had passed out of my stomach.
Hold on a second.
What do you have, an X-ray machine in your house?
Hold on. Stop for a second.
All right.
You had... How fast does it take you to eat food and then poop it out?
Well, I'd have dinner in the evening, and then I would have a bowel movement in the morning, like most people.
You're doing a lot of self... medicating, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah, I'm a wizard.
I mean, but you're talking about... So nothing was in your stomach when you induced vomit?
Yeah, that was my question, too. You had already pooped out whatever dinner it is that you had.
It was in your intestinal tract? Is that what you're saying?
It was between...
How the hell do you know that?
Because there was nothing in my stomach, because there was a dry heave.
How do you know there was nothing in your stomach? As Mike said, did you go to an X-ray machine?
It wouldn't have been a dry heave if there had been something in my stomach.
It could have been.
No, if there had been something in my stomach, it would have come up on vomiting.
Well, maybe, did you... So you, did you do it once and get the dry heave and nothing came up?
I got a little, but then the rest was dry, and so I stopped.
I've talked to many very thin women, and sometimes you just have to try harder, Buzz.
I know.
So to do this amount of damage to your throat, Buzz,
oops.
How many times did you force vomiting?
Just once.
Only once?
Yeah. Well, one finger in the throat. Not in the throat, but just
enough to trigger. No, I know what you mean, but it was only one session.
Right, one session.
And that was enough to do that to your throat.
Yeah, it was a pretty violent session.
And you're blaming it on Metamucil?
No, I'm blaming it on my own stupidity.
But I mean, with all due respect,
right.
You can't be 100% sure that was the cause, though. I mean, I would think that the retching, yeah, I'm sure that could do some harm. What did the doctors say about that? You brought this up to the doctors. Did they say that would do it?
Did you actually go see a doctor?
Oh, yes, yes. I was seen by a doctor today.
And did the doctor say that's probably what it was?
She did not express an opinion one way or another. I gave her the facts, the history of this situation. And
so is this Dr. Elston? Is this your diagnosis?
Do you have a medical degree?
There is no other possible cause for this.
Well, I came from a guy today that I was, a golf pro that I was talking to, and he had the same thing.
Well, we don't know it's the same.
But I mean, he had that same voice like last week, and maybe there's something going around. Can't you get it that way?
Let me put it this way. The doctors didn't have anything better to suggest as a cause, so they're accepting my explanation of the cause.
Maybe you better go see a better doctor. I mean, I know that I don't have the most pleasant, smooth, silk voice, but I remember... 5 or 6 years ago when we were in New York, I went through that stretch. I had whatever those lymph nodes or whatever that were on the inside of my throat. And like, and the guy said that it was like 4 months before I could even think of speaking as beautifully as I am right now.
This is a sticky wicket. I mean, I guess it could be a plausible explanation, but I wouldn't lock it, etch it in stone if that's what got you to...
Did you go see a veterinarian?
Yes.
Or was it a human doctor?
No, it was a human doctor. I spoke to another one on the phone.
Now, when you threw up, you say it was dry, but did you get any, like, foam or bile or stomach acid, and do you think that could have worked against your vocal cords? Because I know that can be nasty stuff.
It can, as a matter of fact. Stomach acid is what makes the vocal cords gelatinous when this happens.
There's that word.
But did a doctor say gelatinous?
Yes.
Or is that your word?
No, that's a doctor's word. Normally,
there's always room for gelatinous.
Normally, they're tight like a guitar string. They vibrate. That's how they make
you it. You understand. Sometimes you are a melody.
You understand. You wouldn't be being put through this medical ringer if you would have just come in yesterday and said, hey, guys,
well,
I OD'd on Metamucil.
Yeah, right. Because
and had to force vomiting.
Because I want to run and confess that as quickly as possible. No, I thought if I...
Is this a technique you use when you're feeling a little bloated? I mean, do you do this when you have too much food in your tummy?
No, I just thought things could be moving along a little better, and past experience has been it makes me feel better.
Metamucil, I think we've identified the cause of Buzz's weight loss.
Didn't
though.
He just say? Past experience has told me it would make me feel better.
Well, what, you thought this was the first time I've ever taken Metamucil?
No, not Metamucil. Metamucil doesn't have anything to do.
We're talking about the forced vomiting.
Oh, first time for that. Yeah.
But I should point out that laxatives are also part of this thing. I've read the literature.
I haven't tried that.
I have two young daughters. They send it through the school.
Okay.
You know, you got to be. Do you use laxatives to compensate for a weekend of junk food very often?
No. And Metamucil only if I feel that it will do some good.
Isn't Metamucil if you just you can't crap?
It's a, no, not necessarily.
Yes. Yes.
You could take it for that, but it is really just a dietary fiber supplement.
Yeah, but it's used to
make you crap.
It has no chemical...
Crap your pants!
No chemical laxative qualities to it.
But it is used for people that are constipated.
It can be, but it has...
That's the primary reason it's used.
Ask a doctor, that's not true.
All right, hold on.
Well, isn't it fiber, I mean, for
hold
like...
Hold on, this is simple enough. This is literally a website.
Metamucil.com.
How much you want to bet it's there?
I'm sure. There.
I'm sure they paid a lot for the domain name.
Is it on your favorites, Rob?
Of course.
Now I'm looking at everything he's eating and drinking over there. I'm just now I'm going to be monitoring.
How do you spell it?
Metamucil.
Metamucil.
It's like Tang, but better.
It's like Citrucel.
IL.
Right?
Similar.
Some people prefer Citrucel.
Is that it?
Yeah.
All right, let's see if it comes up. Metamucil.com.
There it is.
That's a groovy-looking site, man.
Okay.
Looks like they got a new flavor.
Let's see.
Skip through specific conditions. Click on specific conditions.
Hold on. Just be quiet.
No need to rush for that.
Why don't you just let me look at this page myself,
Enjoy.
Please? Okay. Do you want to have better BMs?
Look for coupons.
Yeah, I would think you've learned your lesson.
Adding
that.
Fiber to your diet. It doesn't say anything about BMs yet.
Click on the vomiting icon.
Is that just a picture of somebody with their finger down their throat?
All about fiber. Fiber. Well, what do you want me to click on? Specific conditions?
Yeah, at the top. It'll list all the things you can take this for.
Click on
constipation.
Weekend of, well, there it is. Weekend of
hemorrhoids.
Right.
Diverticulitis.
Right.
Irritable bowel.
Right.
Your digestive system.
Right.
Like my medical.
What's the number one?
Constipation.
What do you define constipation?
Poop.
Right.
Poop.
Well, that was not my problem. I simply.
Yeah, yours is the one you're choosing. Your digestive system.
I took it too, for the fiber effect and for the cleansing effect that it has, because it works like a body.
You're so
brush.
Embarrassed about the fact you had.
But
to
you took it. You took it so you would evacuate quickly all the poison that was in your system.
Not quickly, but efficiently and cleanly.
You used it to help you poop.
Efficiently and cleanly.
No, I used it to make the following day's bowel movement better than the one I had had that morning. That's what I used it for.
Thank you for... Buzz, I do appreciate your candor.
To improve the quality. So that it was perfectly formed and...
Hey, are we talking...
With no more odor than the hot biscuit.
Aren't we talking about human waste here?
Yes, we are.
Where's the quality control on human waste? Right? I mean, is it SS...
So you weren't happy with the quality of the one you had.
Okay,
you know what? I'm going to give you the Metamucil. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you the total free pass on the Metamucil.
Right.
I'm still confused. So at a certain point, you didn't feel the Metamucil was working. That's why you decided to induce vomiting.
No, I felt it was working too well because I'd accidentally taken a double dose of it, and it expands like a sponge when it gets wet. So it gets larger and larger and larger.
You know, when he's saying this, I have to point out to the listening audience that Buzz is holding his arms apart as though, now if it was
like
that size.
Like it's a Macy's Day Parade float.
Yeah.
So you, I'm just really, and I'm not, because I just got this, so you bear with me here, okay? You decided to do that because you were worried that the overdose that you had taken of the Metamucil cause colonic damage.
Two teaspoons full, Michael.
Now that, but you had no medical information to indicate to you that would necessarily be the case.
Oh no, only pain.
Is there? Oh, you okay? Now we're now see.
To relieve.
This is why I asked these questions. You were having abdominal pain.
Right, and to relieve
that. All right, that's different. Why didn't you say that in the first place?
I tried to.
When did you try to?
Between growling. I'm trying to use an economy of words. I said that I did it to relieve pressure. I did it to relieve the pressure that was causing the pain.
Now, are you a little... You're probably more nervous about stuff like this because you've had issues with your stomach before.
Yeah, damn right.
Absolutely.
And so that in mind...
I thought I might explode again.
And who wants that?
No.
You know what? God. If you'd said that up front, it makes... I understand now why you did. You were panicked.
Yeah, a little. Yeah.
You thought you had this... You popped a hole down there before in your innards.
It hurt.
And you thought... Did you have similar feelings to the feelings you would have when that happened?
Not nearly as severe, but...
But it scared the crap out of you.
Well, then why did you get it? Then let's get back to our conversation this morning when you said that you felt embarrassed about this.
Yeah, because...
Well, why didn't you just...
It's a lot less embarrassing now that you fessed up to that.
Why didn't you just say, hey, I felt kind of the way, maybe sort of like I did when my stomach exploded, so I took this stuff and it got me all backed up. Why did I hear all this mumbo jumbo about Metamucil is like a sponge, and I'm picturing, you know, if you take this thing that your stomach expands to the point where it blows up and 2 teaspoons full. It's because of what happened.
I guess I could have communicated better that I was in pain. But you were also scared about
having something happen.
Sure.
I mean, you almost died. Correct me if I'm wrong.
That
right
last time
when you had that diverticulitis and you had a hole, you had a perforation in your colon. Correct.
Well, that's correct.
What I'm trying to say is that would have changed the entire tone of our discussion if you would have said, "Hey, I think this is related to my serious illness." Instead of as usual.
Yeah. Up until he said that,
speaking in buzz speak, which is just like, I took a double dose of Metamucil and now my throat is gelatinous.
Well, I have details between that, but apparently,
but I mean, what you did,
out the word
although
ears.
Obviously not the best thing to do,
right.
Which you found out about, probably not the best thing to do for down there as well. Even, you know, I would think, well, you've probably spoken to a gastroenterologist that's told you whether you should do that or not.
Yeah, and
do
fine.
They say if you run into trouble, this is your strategy for dealing with it?
No, because they didn't expect me to stupidly take a double dose.
No, but I mean, have they said take a regular dose?
Yes they have.
So in your case.
Yeah.
All kidding aside, you can't take like 2 teaspoons full of Metamucil.
No, that's not true. I can't take 4 teaspoons full of Metamucil, which is essentially what I did by having 2 large scoops.
And the reason you made that error was you mistook it for your other Jack LaLanne shake.
I wasn't thinking. I was talking to my wife. She was fixing dinner. I'm walking from one side of her to another to try to prepare the glass and the water and the powder and the spoon. And this
was she distracting you?
We were talking. Yeah.
Was she distracting?
She was distracting him.
Yes, she was. Damn it. Yes, she was.
She was making him something delicious. Don't you even bother to ask what it was. I mean, it was something like chicken and dumplings, wasn't it, Buzz? One of your favorites.
It was, actually, chicken and mashed potatoes.
Home-cooked steak fries.
Was there a particular foodstuff that you had enjoyed over the weekend? Was it ball game food?
Hot dogs. Yeah, not just at the park, but on my own the next day because I got.
You got a hot dog thing? Jones.
Okay. Say hot dog or pot dog?
Uh huh.
That's not relish.
Okay. So you took the overdose.
Yeah.
Of the Metamucil, and you suddenly went, oh, this is bad, very bad.
3 or 4 hours later, I was in pain, and by that time, my stomach was too empty to efficiently evacuate through vomiting. So
you know what? I bet you probably said this. I'm sorry, I'm slow. That's the missing word in all of this.
What?
Pain.
And fear, yeah.
You never said...
No, I didn't.
Hey, my stomach hurts.
I don't want to be a pussy.
So, did you know that you... Did you?
Too late.
Did you know that you had taken too much of the Metamucil right away?
No, not until the pain started 3 or 4
And then you went
later.
Back and kind of processed it and said, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I panicked and I thought...
Oh, you panic and pain.
Yeah.
There's another good word.
Yeah.
Panic. Pain,
yeah.
Finger down throat. Get everything out so I can relieve the pain that way.
Panic and pain, aren't those the nicknames that Carrie has given her breasts?
I've given them that.
Panic and pain.
Panic is on the left.
Hello, panic. Hello,
pain. Pain.
Wow.
Panic and pain.
And how are your innards feeling now?
Oh, fine. Perfect.
So you're
yeah, they're laughing at all this.
Because it's all
my
up in your throat.
My intestine is laughing at my vocal cords, yes.
All right, well, we're glad you're feeling well, Buzz. It was certainly a weird way to get to this.
I know. And I feel awful. I'm depressed because I can't talk, and I desperately want to.
Well, maybe
I'm doing the old guy Metamucil thing, and then now I have a geek inhaler that I'm using to try to treat my throat.
And speaking of that,
yeah,
that is a steroid.
That's right.
And I know one thing, steroids are not to be trifled with.
Mm-hmm.
You're holding it in your hand as though it's a roll of Lifesavers. How many times a day are you to utilize that product?
I think this one you can use up to 4 times a day.
I think.
Should you just put it away? Not play with it like it's a toy?
Well, okay. Sure.
You're holding it like it's some sort of crutch there. You think this is a steroid.
You're holding it like it's one of those air horns.
That's
like,
right.
Like it's one of those things that go...
How many hits have you taken on it today?
Yes. All four.
So you've already bogarted your entire day's supply.
The instruction said you could, and I thought if it would help me talk during the show.
You mean you could take all four at one time?
Yes.
Is that what you did? You took all four at one time?
Yes, I did.
So you probably shouldn't take any more at all today?
Probably not.
But he will.
Does it have instructions on it?
Yes, it does. I have them with me.
And do they say probably not?
No, they don't say probably.
Right.
They say you can take it 4 times a day.
What is the inhaler? What brand? What's the drug it plays?
Tommy Chong.
I have forgotten.
Is it albuterol?
See, when he says probably.
No, it's...
he says probably.
Azimacort.
Oh, he's cruising for another abuse. He's going to abuse his product again.
Well, really, what we've learned here is he'll be fine. He can take drugs. He can do anything. Just don't eat hot dogs.
That's
if you eat a hot dog, you will lose your voice.
Psychologically, he has completely explained himself. Logically to me, because I can relate, because I've had that kind of condition.
And I think some of our listeners down in South Florida, some of those disenfranchised listeners from the old format on our station down in Miami, South Florida, Boca Raton, they should call in and maybe we could chat about the dangers of Metamucil.
Exactly. I think we could probably, and even if they're not senior citizens, if they're not today's senior citizens, you could probably find some horror stories from Metamucil. And if you don't find any horror stories, or how about, Buzz, if we got some people that called in and said, you know, I've taken Metamucil and I've taken an overdose of it, but I've never had a real problem.
Has this ever happened to you?
I'd like to know.
Metamucil's like Tang, for God's sake.
I don't think it's the like dangerous product that Buzz is describing.
It's not dangerous when used properly. It does expand to beyond its normal size.
Exactly. But
75 to 100,000 times.
Is there any warning on there about overdoses?
I'm sure there is, but I don't have the package with me.
You know what? I'm going to go back to the website.
I bet you there's some Metamucil horror stories in the immediate surroundings of this radio station. I'm sure in this neighborhood. I bet you they don't.
I'll tell you, I can't tell you a Metamucil story, but I will tell you a Citracell story.
Right. Same thing.
Similar.
Citracell, for me, you know, when I was a little bound up, didn't cut the mustard.
It takes a while, that's the thing.
Yeah, and I stuck with it, but it just didn't really work for me. I just wasn't feeling. It was just all right for me.
Okay, dog.
You know, dog?
The thing about Metamucil, and I know because my grandfather was on it in his waning years to help keep him regular.
Daily, right.
Yeah. It takes a couple days once you start it to get it through your system.
Right.
So it's got to be an everyday thing.
What right. does today's young, hip, hot talk man want to hear on the radio on a Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday?
Metamucil story.
Welcome.
Discussion of Metamucil.
It's Metamucil Wednesday.
Starts with Buzz, goes to Mike, ends up with your grandfather.
That's a high fiber Wednesday.
Well, I just said my only experience with one of those kind of products is that it didn't really work. Hey, I think that young, old, and everywhere in between, people have problems with constipation.
Not if you have my problem.
Here we go. We're just a mess.
That's right. The other way.
They ought to call this. A new name for this show should be The Ward.
Fine is fine.
The Ward.
Health care professionals. Visit drmetamucil.com.
Is there really a Dr. Metamucil?
That's what it says.
He must have invented it.
I'm simply trying to find a helpline.
Look under overdose.
Or dangerous or side effects.
There is a corpse link.
You have family of products. Compare the competition about dietary fiber. Frequently asked questions. Are there any drug interactions or restrictions? Why is the dosing for Metamucil a teaspoon for some versions and a tablespoon for others?
May kill you if used with marijuana.
In what flavors is Metamucil available?
I saw they got a berry one now.
Wild berry, orange, green mint, and Buzz.
Okay, I'm going all the way down to, are there any drug interactions or restrictions with Metamucil?
Oh!
Here's the number. Beautiful. Give me a moment.
Good stuff.
Got it. Finally.
We'll get this answered. So if it ever happens in the future, Buzz,
if this helps just one person.
We're doing some good here.
That's right.
That's exactly what we're doing today.
Let it ring through first, Robbie.
Okay. Let it ring. Let it ring.
Thank you for
Then just give me the phone. Just give me the phone.
Hi, is this Metamucil?
There, just give me the phone, please. I will put it on the air. Thank you, Robbie. Hello, hi, Metamucil. Thank you. What is the Metamucil number?
Oh, dear. Isn't that the way it is? Isn't that the way it always is?
Metamucil number is number 2.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Number 2. Bye-bye. Just the number 2222222.
The lines are all backed up.
You ever do this? What was the goddamn number? 4-3.
No, this is going to answer the question.
I hope it's the right number I wrote down. Find out soon enough.
No, Metamucil hotline. He's getting another number now.
It's a dietary fiber supplement.
Hello, I'm Dr. Brown.
Okay. This is a caller who takes Metamucil.
Okay.
What's that line did you dial on?
I don't know.
It's a caller that takes Metamucil.
I dialed out. 1-800.
Oh, look, it's available in berry burst.
What flavor did you take?
The original orange, my favorite.
3-3-2.
With sugar.
Obviously.
With sugar, best kind.
It rang out last time as well, though, Robbie.
No.
Like a...
Don't let it...
But we're going to do some good here, and Buzz, you're going to get an education as well, so that, you know, if this ever happens again...
There is a ring, Robbie. Okay. Now she should... Just say Metamucil thing, right? Right. She'll go, hi, you know, ass hotline.
Oh, it's Procter & Gamble.
PG.
A fine Procter & Gamble product.
Wonderful people.
Love their stuff.
Want to thank them for getting Imus fired.
Oh, that's right. They were one of them.
Hey, good for Imus. Did you hear he's suing the company? Do you know he's got the same thing in his contract as we have, the dog bite clause?
Oh, wonderful.
Meaning that, like, it's in his contract that it says if he does anything, they have to send him a letter before they fire him.
Right.
And warn him. They never did.
Uh oh.
Yeah.
Chungo.
Hello, is this? Hi there, Metamucil. Hi there. The office phone number is 703-691-1900. What is my specialty?
Loving. Yes, you're a doctor.
Loving. Yes, I'm a physician.
Oh, God. Dr.
My,
Love.
My specialty is gynecology. But I'm calling for a friend of mine. I'm doing a radio show right now, the Ask the Gynecologist show. Would I be able to get your permission? We were on a topic that had to do with gynecology, and as it turns out, my colleague has taken what he believes
an overdose.
An overdose of Metamucil. Would it be possible that we could get you on the air? We're on the Westwood One Radio Network for you to assuage his fears about Metamucil. No. Call the technical line.
Yeah.
Well, she'll transfer me.
Oh, good. Okay.
Very good. Very
nice. Wonderful. We're getting there. You know, if you're sitting here in agony and you're doubled over in pain, abdominal pain, it's a long way to go.
It's very nice of the people of Metamucil to keep things moving like that.
They should have a hotline, Buzz.
Are you a doctor?
Yes, I am. Why, yes, I am.
They're not trying to stall us, are they?
My name is Harry Knuckles. Dr. Knuckles here.
Dr. Vinny Gumbatz.
Chuckles.
Dr. Giggles.
Now it's the pleasant sound of
a human being.
Hi there, Metamucil. Hi there. A lady just put me through to you. Hi. My name is Dr. Knuckle. I'm doing a radio show on the Westwood One Radio Network right now. By practice, I am a gynecologist. We do have a medical question about Metamucil from one of my co-hosts about how much you can take safely. Would it be possible you could join us on the air to discuss this? Of course you can. May I place you on hold and then you will be on the air with us. Thank you. Beautiful.
Wonderful.
Put it on hold. She's put me on hold.
All right, we're set
and
to
I've
go.
And I've instructed her that when she comes back, she'll be on the air.
Okay. Waiting for her to come back. Are you there?
She put me on hold.
Ah.
I guess you don't get any music at this level.
She's waiting. I hope she's not asking permission.
From a supervisor.
Anyway, welcome back to the gynecologist show.
What about the vagina?
That seems to be the question of the day.
And as we've learned from lots of our callers, everyone's doing just fine today.
Let's take another call.
Do you have hair in your special place?
That's right, gynecology.
That would be affirmative on both counts.
Dr. Harry Knuckles.
Dr. Knuckles.
I'm Dr. Greg Knuckles. Greg Knuckles. Hello.
Damn, it'll be tanks too much. His stomach's going to explode.
Dick. My name is Philip.
You're not supposed to put your fingers down your throat. Why, when I think of you, you look like a dick.
Hello?
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 I said, Doctor!
To the relieve the belly ache, I said, Doctor.
Well, we've totally stopped the show now, waiting for Metamucil to join us.
It takes a while to work.
Buzz, you should probably know the only time you should use your fingers is when you're going to dial your cell phone.
I'm surprised you're a finger guy, Buzz.
Might result in a fatal hemorrhage.
You know, I'm surprised you didn't take, even the end of a toothbrush or something.
Hey, that's a neat idea.
Because it seems it buzzes so clean and all.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
When you get like that, like when your dog gives you a big kiss, wouldn't you get that big whole, like, saliva thing happening?
I don't have to do that when I want to do that. I just imagine myself naked.
Did you have...
Works every single time.
Did you have handy any syrup of Ipecac?
Nor syrup of Squill. Neither one.
What's syrup of Squill?
Same as Ipecac.
Should have called me.
Is that what they have in the Midwest?
No, that line just went bad. She hung up.
Olden times. I don't even think they have it
now. Part A. She just hung up.
Screw her.
Typical.
That's syrup of Squill. Is that when you were helping to draft the Declaration of Independence?
That's
that you
right.
took syrup of Squill?
That's right.
Well, I have to call during the break because she hung up.
We want to get these answers to, what is the dangerous dosage to OD on Metamucil.
Here is Dr. Teresa on the telephone. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Dr. Teresa.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Hi, honey. We're doing great.
Okay, I'm an MP from Las Vegas, and I just want to tell you guys are not being broadcasted on the radio due to a baseball game. You guys got dissed.
Have you been listening on the internet?
Absolutely.
Okay. And you are a doctor?
Yes, I am. And I just want to tell you that when you guys are on the air, I cannot get my man's attention, nor can I make love to him.
Darling, and don't you sound like the sauciest Rita Moreno-type doctor out there.
Are you a sexy doctor?
Well, that all depends.
Well, I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. Have you heard about Buzz's dilemma?
Yes, I did. And I have one thing to say.
Yes.
What a fag.
Doctor.
What?
What kind of medicine do you practice, Doc?
Well, I practice...
Quackery.
debauchery.
You're not a doctor. Thanks, doctor. Get out of here.
It's Tanya Roberts. Las Vegas is calling.
Hey,
bye.
You people with voices think you're so smart.
I had a bad hot dog at the game. That's why I sound this way. Everyone's a big winner.
Were your fingers clean when you did this?
Well, no. How else are you going to make the gag reflex?
No, prior to putting them in your mouth.
No, yeah.
There was his fingers.
Well, he's always got that gook under his nails.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Just kidding.
Hello, guys.
Hi there.
Nice.
That drives him nuts, ladies and gentlemen.
What's up?
I wanted to bring up the option that possibly could his vocal cords have been damaged by the consumption of the hot dog in a certain sexual fashion?
That's a valid question, doctor.
We were talking about a throat massage yesterday.
That's a valid question. A tonsil tickling? Well, what do we call it? A throat sausage at the ballpark?
You see, here's why I didn't want to bring this up. But no, of course not. Of course not.
So you're feeling better today?
Oh, I feel fine.
I mean, you felt fine the whole time.
Both days. Feel okay. Fine. I just sound like crap.
Except, but at some point, you were in pain. You are no longer in pain.
That was abdominal pain, and that was Monday night.
And I'm still waiting to get the definitive answer on the Metamucil overdose situation.
Right.
Which we haven't gotten from a doctor or from anybody that may have experienced that.
All right, let's try these calls. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
I used to feed Metamucil to my cat at the recommendation of a vet, and she was able to meow just fine. She had no vocal problems.
She didn't vomit it. You didn't put your finger in her throat.
But you don't think it had anything to do. Did you vomit any Metamucil when you vomited?
Very little.
What came out?
Very little, a few chunks and a little liquid. Really not very much of anything.
Buzz, I think you've been very, very forthright on this situation today, and I don't mean to offend by asking you this question.
How could you, Mike?
We've crossed that line.
But I have to ask you, do you think there's the possibility, the possibility that perhaps this expansion you talk about could have been imaginary?
Absolutely not. No, I do know how the product works.
You think you could have died?
Do this at home. Put some in a glass and just watch it. Let it stand and see what happens over time.
Well, then shouldn't we get an FDA recall on this product?
No, because when used properly, it's perfectly safe.
Do you have any with you right now?
I do not.
But what if a toddler out there was to get some and think that it was like a Kool-Aid or something?
Bad parenting. The parent should put that away so the toddler can't get it.
Anything, but we've asked you this before.
Do we have to put a Mr. Yuck sticker on that for you now?
Maybe everything.
Warning, do not double your dose or you could rupture something.
Buzz, do not touch. Yeah, just everywhere. Well, not everywhere.
There's all this Metamucil on the counter.
Do you have Metamucil at home?
Oh, dozens of jars just open. I didn't know it was dangerous.
Don't you put it on your oatmeal in the morning?
I do.
He lays out lines of it.
Bob takes it nasally.
Yeah. All orifices.
All right, Buzz. Yeah. How you doing? You doing okay today? You doing better than yesterday?
I'm an old guy taking Metamucil. I'm a geek with an asthma inhaler, and I can't talk, which is what I love to do. So I couldn't be better.
Okay. All right. You're awful, Buzz. But at least you're not in pain.
No.
And I'm glad we were able to have this little get-together.
And hopefully on the road to recovery.
Oh, yeah, I think so. steroids.
That's Buzz right there. That's Buzz in a nutshell. Like, yes. Hope you feel better.
Yeah. See,
well,
I'm concerned about giving the real answer, which is I'm supposed to take these steroids and not talk.
Oh, you're supposed to just not talk.
Then why don't you?
But that's why I didn't. give you the real answer.
How long are you supposed to not talk for?
Until my voice comes back, which, of course, doesn't make any sense. But
well, then why are you here? I mean, no offense. Love having you here.
I know.
Glad you're here. If the doctor, one of your various doctors, has told you a key ingredient in your getting well is do not talk.
You should, I mean, it's not like you have to go to bed, but you should, like, go, you know, buy a new cat or something.
Right. The doctor was hoping that the steroids would work by showtime.
Oh, he was. Okay, yeah. And obviously that hasn't happened.
I'm better, but I still sound lousy, yeah.
All right. Is there anything you want to ask?
No. I think I'm set. I mean, I wouldn't know what it would be. I think I've covered everything.
I think you, like, do you want to go home? It's
no.
Okay.
Oh, no, I feel great. I'd rather be here.
But if you keep talking, said, you're going to maybe do permanent damage.
Right. So I should do a minimum amount of that, at least until news time, probably.
Well, I thought they said no talking.
Did the doctors say just a minimal amount of talking on a national radio show until it's time for the 1 hour when you do the news?
No, they said spare your voice, whatever that means.
Why didn't you ask them what that means?
Because I took it to mean use it as little as possible, but that I still could.
Oh, but you just said you're not supposed to talk.
Well, not a lot, yeah.
What exactly
not
did they
almighty.
Say? Did they say to you...
Spare your voice and take the steroids.
Spare your voice and take right. the steroids.
Right.
Talk
did
less
you tell them you do a radio show?
Yes.
What did they say?
They said, spare your voice and take the steroids.
When they said, spare your voice, did you think about... I'm not trying to tease you off here.
I know.
Did you think about saying to them, am I okay to go to work?
I wasn't worried about it at the time because I, too, believed the steroids would work by showtime and that we wouldn't have to do any of this.
I don't get it. See, I mean, I'm all fine for him being here, but
right.
I don't want this to be like a Ronnie Lott situation. I know you don't know who Ronnie Lott is. He's a football player.
Little finger issue he had.
And what happened is they told him, don't go back out and play. You might permanently hurt your finger.
Right.
And he went out and played and permanently hurt his finger.
They had to amputate.
They had to cut his finger off.
Fingertip.
Yeah, he went back in the game.
Right.
But, you know, Bud, your voice, is, in this case, is Ronnie Lott's fingertip.
Yeah.
Is there a chance you could perhaps say it hasn't gotten better by showtime? Would they say maybe it's best that you don't talk for the rest of the show?
I will call and ask them.
That's what I think.
Because we didn't expect this. I don't think we expected this.
Why don't you call the doctor? Why don't you call the doctor right now? We'll break and we'll come back.
All right. Very good.
Okay.
Very good. And because really... When I heard permanent damage, that's you don't want to F around with that, Buzz.
Yeah, we're not expecting.
Unless that's just one of the things that's floating around in his head along with this
yeah.
crazy sponge theory about Metamucil.
Might be one of his flashbacks.
Put some in a glass.
And don't forget, Buzz is number one with possibly.
There is a lot of amateur physicianship going on here.
Well, Buzz reads a lot.
Yes.
He reads a lot of books.
That is, I'd like to remind our listeners at home, that does not necessarily constitute a medical degree.
Well,
you could do worse.
We are concerned, Buzz, about your health and your well-being.
Thank you.
And
do you know CPR, Buzz?
No, not really. I mean, I have the gist of it.
That's his knowledge of medicine.
Have the gist of it.
I have the gist of it. If you can't have the gist of it, you got to know the compressions and the breaths.
I'm going to say no. I haven't taken the course.
Okay. Well, call your doctors, and we'll find out what they say when we come right back.
All
right. But again, the specific answer is...
4 out of 5 doctors said, are you high?
Hold up. You know what we got to do? We got to give them the question, though, so that there's no, like, wiffle waffling.
My voice has not improved significantly. Would it be best if I didn't talk for the rest of the day?
How long would you recommend I go without speaking? And if they say until your voice gets better, then the question would be, give me a ballpark estimate. And they will say to you, well, everyone is different. And then say, make a guess. I'm not going to hold it to you.
Right. All right, I shall.
Okay?
All right.
And then ask him for a nice big sucker and ask him if he can go to the toy chest.
and play with all those snot-covered toys.
Pick something good out. That's always the biggest crock when you go to, when you take your kids to the doctor.
Right.
That's how they get you to come back.
Yes.
Is on the way out when they say, oh, good news, your little boy Billy's got a perfect bill of health. Billy, before you leave, to ensure you'll be back,
why did you step over here to this giant chest in which every tuberculosis-ridden child in the world has coughed and spit all over today?
Take home the multicolored mucus rings.
Go, take that army man and right now, put him in your mouth before you leave today. Okay, see you soon, Billy.
Have a happy, healthy day, Billy.
All right, Buzz, you please call your doctor.
Yes, I will.
And we'll get the results when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Let's hear what's up with Katie Couric.
Katie Couric's Notebook.
Hi, everyone, and happy Gay Marriage Freedom Day when the average American has casual sexual encounters with boys. Ugh. That's according to the Gay Marriage Foundation, a nonprofit group that keeps track of these things. They note that gay boys eat up about a third of our national teens on the street with a penis. That's better than some other countries. In Sweden, for example, the gay burden is close to 60%, and they don't reach their Gay Marriage Freedom Day until August. Rudy Giuliani, the president of the Gay Fuckers Foundation, said,
"Whoa.
We can breathe easier, but not for long." He told us there's a tsunami of boys coming, adding, "We need to brace ourselves and respect their bodies." Giuliani says we need gay marriage reform urgently. Otherwise, we might celebrate Gay Marriage Freedom Day around Christmas. That's a page from my notebook. I'm Katie Couric, CBS News.
Oh, she's a little fireball, isn't she?
Boy, those are great.
Oh, now this is a moldy oldie. This is just a lead in the Buzz.
The Sun likes them. Don and Mike.
Hi, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
It's an old disco hit from the 70s, but it's very appropriate now.
Incredible.
We wait now to find out. I saw him on his phone.
He was very busy during that commercial break.
During the commercial. Let's find out. Carol Douglas, everybody. And she marvelous.
Doctor's orders.
Buzz?
Yes.
Did you call Dr. Bombay?
I did.
Excuse me, let me turn down that music so you can be heard.
Thank you, and my doctor thanks you.
And?
I found out that talking will not do permanent damage. In other words, I won't get any worse by talking. The more I talk, the worse I will sound throughout the day. He expects that I will get better each day, that this is about a 3-day condition, and that by Monday I will be in perfect voiceover mode as before. Now, that doesn't mean I won't be able to talk before then. It just won't be 1,000% until Monday. And that's where we are. So I can talk. Just, I should do so economically.
Did you tell him you do a radio show? And I know that you're either the third mic or the fourth mic, and that sometimes, by that I mean microphone.
Right.
And Mike and I barrel through quite often, but believe it or not, your responses, even though we do not pay attention to them, apparently we do pay attention to.
Right.
And they are.
Well, we focus on him when he's ill.
I can still respond to you.
An important fabric of the show, and more importantly, when you're ill.
Yes.
When you're ill, we love highlighting you.
As anybody's presence is a little more felt when they're ill.
Yes.
It's the nature of, it's the nature of that shark in the water thing that we do.
So, right. Hold on. Did you ask the doctor the specific... That's why I asked him to write it. What was the question we asked you to ask him?
I forgot, but the gist of it was as follows.
He wrote it down.
Oh, you wrote it down?
Of course
I did, because I wanted to get it right. The first question is, should I be talking or not talking?
And his answer was?
That talking is fine. It's just that the more that I talk, the more my voice will deteriorate on any given day. So,
but you're doing a radio show.
We all understand that. It's just that I in particular, especially being, you know, three mics down, should be economical. I can still react. I can still do the news. And I can do this steroid inhaler every 15 minutes. So I plan to do that.
Oh, so there's an answer you got. You can do it more than four times a day.
Yeah, that's the four times.
Oh, my God. You can do it 12 more times during today's show.
And, you know, if he does that, by the end of the show, his neck will be the size of an NFL lineman.
It'd be incredibly bloated.
And there's a good chance of roid rage.
So you're telling us your doctor said it's okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Good.
I can talk. I can do the news. I can take as much of the steroid as I want.
Well, very good.
All right. Then glad to hear that.
And economize on your words.
Yes.
Then before we discuss American Idol, I have a gift for you, Mike.
You do?
I know. It's not a major gift.
Is it a gift I'm going to like?
I believe so. You know how you like having pictures of your favorite celebrities?
Yes.
On the walls of
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Right.
Of your show bar?
I love that.
Well, please take a look.
Oh, good.
At this one in this envelope.
Oh.
It's a color picture, Mike.
Oh. All right, here we go.
Open it up.
Wow.
Read the inscription in his voice, please.
A lovely, lovely photograph with the inscription. To Mike from... What does it say?
I had to ask you.
He's got old man writing.
One icon.
From one great icon to another. Three hunters. All the best from Rich Little. Yeah.
Rich Little.
Yeah. This will go on the wall.
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters?
Three Canadian hunters.
From Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Oh, is it cold? Oh,
that's cold up there.
Oh.
Three Canadian hunters.
Hunters.
Were out in the woods.
Well, now you know.
Cold afternoon.
The Maori fire eaters.
We've heard it a million times. They got run over by a train. We know it.
A quality glossy photo from the one and only icon of impersonators. Mr. Rich Little.
There you go. Now.
Delightful. What a wonderful gift.
On to the pressing news of the day.
Yes.
And that is, here's who's gone on American Idol.
I know who it is.
It's Jordan Sparks.
It is indeed.
And it's that goddamn beatbox boy. Goodbye forever. That's it.
Not a chance on that.
Go to Vegas and bet your child's school money on it.
I, as much as I would love to see it happen, it ain't going to happen.
Who's the second?
Justin Timberlake, that Chris guy.
Chris Richardson?
Chris Richardson.
No way.
Chris Richardson and Jordan Sparks are saying sayonara tonight.
It's the beatbox boy.
I'm torn because nothing would make me happy.
I wanted to get out my potato gun last night. If I didn't love my TV so much,
right.
I would have gotten out my potato gun and been like Elvis and shot it out when that dork is up there with his dyed hair going...
This is where Simon is absolutely spot on. We had a major fight at the O'Mara household last night because of this, because Carla likes the beatbox boy.
Like his bad nose?
And likes his
that's
bad
not what
nose.
You told
what
me.
Is, we don't call it his bad nose,
it's Blake's
right?
Bad nose.
It's Blake's bad nose.
I said to Carla, what about the beatbox boy?
I thought he sucked.
I wish she'd said that. I wish she'd said that. We both enjoyed Phil. We both enjoyed Melinda. We enjoyed Lakeisha. We didn't enjoy Jordan.
Right.
And we didn't enjoy the beatbox boy.
But here's why Jordan is safe. Because she had arguably the best performance the week before, and they're combining the votes.
That's right. I forgot about the combining
of the votes.
And
remember, she had a dynamic week last week.
Yeah, but she had a bad week last week. I'm going to stick with my original. Are you still voting for Baldy to be...
He will be... Both of the people eliminated tonight will be the bald guy.
I voted for the bald guy four times last night.
Eliminated. And wouldn't that be the best? Because they really were eliminated.
like right on stage?
Just like turned into dust.
Or you give them some sort of Jack Bauer injection.
I'd go for a trapdoor.
That would work.
Straight down.
Yeah.
Straight down in the theater.
And, I don't know about Bon Jovi. I mean, I like Bon Jovi. I guess I like... Isn't Bon Jovi one of those things like you go,
Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi. But like,
they're kind of safe. They're kind of accepted. They're not Aerosmith. They're not one of the great iconic bands.
The thing that I hate, and I know it's hard for chicks to sing rock songs, but for the guys, I don't know about you, but for me personally, the part of Bon Jovi I hate most is the country western Bon Jovi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wanted.
Dead or alive.
Oh, please, eat one.
On a steel horse I ride.
And that's the one that Baldy nailed.
Now, I've seen Bon Jovi around for a long time, but I think last night is the first time I've seen him being himself. And am I the only one that drew parallels between him and Joe Ardinger? He looks a little like him. Talks a little like him. Got
did
a
Baldy do
haircut.
Dead or Alive, or did he do...
No, oh, he did another one.
The bald guy did... hold on. No, Chris did...
Chris Richardson did Dead or Alive.
What did the bald guy do, Johnny?
Blaze of Glory.
Blaze of Glory. Yeah, thank
same
you.
Same song.
Same difference. Same freaking song.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I completely forgot about the fact that they're combining last week and this week.
I think that makes Jordan safe. Because she had a big week last week.
No way. Mark my words.
She was really... horrible.
It's Jordan Sparks and it's the beatbox boy.
And I'm mad they didn't show Simon's mother.
Oh, I know.
Me too.
And you know that was by design.
Of
he
course.
Doesn't want his mother shown.
But you know his mother looks like the queen. dressed like the queen as well.
And no Helen Mirren either.
No.
The real queen.
No, right, the real queen. The one that's here now.
The one that was in the Naked Gun movies.
Hello, possums.
His mother looks like Dame Edna.
Hello, possums. And Buzz, I know you don't want to be excluded. How did you enjoy American Idol last night?
You know, darn it, I missed it.
Oh, that's a shame.
Didn't see it.
Thank you, Buzz.
You're welcome.
You know, darn it, he missed it.
He did.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hi, is there a problem with the internet stream?
Yes, the entire stream has been polluted.
Yeah, there are all sorts of carcinogens in the stream.
Maybe
right
you
now.
Saw the Al Gore movie, An Inconvenient Ass.
Yeah. And the streams are rising as well.
The entire internet is down. Everybody's internet in the world is down today.
Internet.
Someone pulled a plug.
Very, internet. Very dangerous.
Very slow.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike Show. Bye.
Howdy. Hi.
Yeah.
Hey. Buzz, have you ever thought about perhaps soaking your cords in some brandy? A nice, fine brandy.
I actually took a shot of absinthe when I was here yesterday, but I think it made things worse.
Well, alcohol being an astringent.
Yeah, and an irritant, you know.
But I
was desperate.
You drank absinthe on the show yesterday?
I could find
that's what he milk. Said. He took a shot of absinthe during the show yesterday.
What if you drank it, like, during the show today in earnest?
Well, I think here again, the alcohol would irritate my already irritated throat. Right, yeah.
But we'd have a better show.
and he'd rip right through it, too. About an hour from now, he'd just tear right through whatever copy he had.
I'm back. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, are you as confident about Sparks as you are about the Bulls and the Heat?
Yes, of course I am, because as you know, when I recently lost that bet to Robert the Mailman, the world stopped on its axis, because that's the first time I'd ever been wrong in my entire life.
Now, that's normally you answer that kind of a call with sarcasm, or you give the entire Joe Pesci speech from Goodfellas, you know, when do I amuse you?
Am I sort of a clown? Now, how am I funny? How am I funny, Henry?
Spider.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey, I wanted to say to Buzz, I hope he feels better.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Buzz. I mean, really, on missing American Idol and not watching it.
I tried to remember to.
And congratulations for calling a show to mention a TV show that you don't like watching.
I only know because you talk about it.
Right. Oh, yeah. What torture it is for you. You know, I'm tired of hearing from the cool people who are saying they don't watch American Idol because...
How's it feel looking down on us from your little pedestal?
Because the fact is that that bunch of the Washington Post actually wrote correctly today that the numbers are going down, like, slowly. And Buzz actually had this on his news. Right. The numbers are going down a little bit every year now.
Mm-hmm.
Every week they're going... They're not as good as they were last year. The luster's wearing off.
Yet the numbers continue to go up on King of Queens. You really have to figure out what's happening. Thank you. Thank you, Greg Knuckles.
But don't worry. Eventually, it will even out. American Idol will not be as popular as it is now.
Still huge.
Yeah, but...
I felt wonderful to see Ryan Seacrest come on, and with all the giving that was done last week and all the good that was done, it was so nice to have just a really lean, mean, regular show last night. And is it an hour tonight? An hour special tonight?
Yeah, because Bon Jovi's got to sell some records.
That's right.
See, the thing is, Buzz, I appreciate you because you have not watched the show since it's been on.
Consistently.
You're an original curmudgeon.
Yeah, that's right.
There are people who are new to the party who are now just like that guy, you know, hey, Buzz, you know, so glad that you don't like American Idol because I'm cool like you.
And way to hold your ground, man.
And I've known all along that I'm in the minority on this. Most people love the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've always been a rebel.
Yeah, well, I guess, in some ways.
Never, ever be any good.
A self-medicating rebel.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, I was thinking that Buzz sounds a lot like Dick Clark these days. So you might want to put him down.
That's a nice compliment, sir. Buzz has not had a stroke.
I still love you, Buzz.
Buzz has not had a stroke.
Put him down.
This is very humane of you, sir.
Put him down like
I love you, Buzz.
At the barber earl.
See you at the funeral.
And you're sounding better.
I think so. I think the steroids will help.
Yeah.
All right, well, go get yourself another whiff.
Okay.
And, I know when we come back. Mike, who's a really good friend of the show?
Rich Little.
Hold on, did you just do a hit right there?
Yeah, I just took a hit of steroids.
Every 15 minutes, don't abuse it.
Okay, I can't help it, I just want to be better.
You did abuse it because you took one before we went on the air. I mean, coming out of that break, didn't you?
Yeah, it's so easy to lose track of time.
He's abusing his meds.
Mike, here's a quiz for you. We had a guy on the show for a while, an NFL guy.
Yeah.
And he really got his panties in a wad when we made him wait for us at the Super Bowl.
Mr. Rich Eisen.
Yes, Dick Eisen in the news.
Really?
Yeah, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, it answered a question. Here's Buzz last New Year's Eve. Buzz Burbank.
We're kind of down to midnight. Now, one thing is always true. Every eye will be glued to the crystal ball on top of number one Times Square. It's mounted 380 feet above the street.
What, Buzz?
When it drops, you won't believe what you're going to see and hear right down there. You know what? There's nothing like it anywhere in the whole world. Are you ready, Ron?
I am so ready. We are so close, Dick.
I'm ready, Buzz.
Million-plus people out here ready to go, too.
Why did he call you Dick?
Watching in moments. They'll be showered here in Times Square.
It's a nickname.
What was that?
Something about my face. The Don and Mike Show.
Just drink the juice they give you. The Don and Mike Show.
I'm Pat O'Brien, and I'm an alcoholic.
Right, drink, Pat.
My name is Betty, and I'm an alcoholic.
Come on, my second beer.
Hey, you know something?
What?
No, what? I had a dream last night.
Even better than a porno book.
Okay, we're back.
The Don and Mike Show.
Been back for a while. Hi, everybody. Here's the story that broke yesterday. Thanks to all of my friends that sent it to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's really great. About Dick Eisen.
Yeah.
Richard Eisen. He's a guy who really has to do something to get noticed. Rich Dick Eisen.
Yes.
Is, in my humble opinion, a good broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
Who's had his success really go to his head.
Okay.
He's a guy, when he was on ESPN, was funny.
Yeah, one of the funniest, actually.
Was a guy who, along with the, who's the other tall guy that quit ESPN?
Oberman. Keith Oberman
went to
MSNBC.
Yeah, but there was the other guy that had the show before, Craig Ferguson. What was that dude's name?
Oh, God, I've forgotten his name.
Craig Kilborn.
That's it.
Craig Kilborn.
Right.
He was one of those guys on ESPN where they really were just dry funny.
And they were smart asses, and everybody loved them, and they didn't get into a lot of jargon. They were just funny guys.
So Rich Eisen got this gig at the NFL Network where he was going to be their lead lapdog. And he got it when the NFL Network was on about five stations. And I thought, hey, pretty brilliant move. They got a guy who's got a sense of humor. And we immediately scooped him up and got him on the show and found out that once he got this job working for the NFL, he got real tight ass.
Right. Yeah, he was very uptight. And that may have been a little bit of him. It may have been a little bit of the NFL pressure because they are very particular about their image and how they present things.
So anyway, just to give you a little background on this guy, we had him on the show every week for a year during football season. And sometimes he was okay and sometimes he wasn't. And then during the Super Bowl week, we had to juggle everything around to get him on the show.
Had to do that a few times even before the Super Bowl, right?
Three or four times, like to get a 10-minute segment out of the guy. And then finally when he did grace us with his presence, we purposely put him on hold and made him wait, I think, a total of 3 minutes.
Right.
Anyway, he had a conniption fit about how valuable his time was.
We did that kind of game where we'd say, we'd put him on for a second and go, hey, can you hold on just a minute?
We'll right.
And we did it two or three times, and apparently he had a meltdown.
He sent me an email at home. It was like, you know, forget you have my email address.
Wow.
Forget you have my phone number. You guys are the most unprofessional broadcasters, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we let it go. He's Rich Eisen.
Yeah.
Well, imagine this. He's in hot water. Well, actually, he's not in hot water. Let me explain it to you like this. The anchor of a Philadelphia Fox station is in hot water.
Okay.
This sure does sound to me, I'm going to just read you the story, but tell you what I think first. Sounds to me, as a person reading the story, like Rich Eisen's caught, and he's doing anything he can to get out of the fact that he's doing something around his wife.
Is this a female anchor we're talking about?
Yeah.
at the Philadelphia station?
Fox Philadelphia TV reporter Alicia Lane is in hot water after a series of private emails and saucy snapshots she sent to handsome NFL Network anchorman Rich Eisen.
Handsome balding.
And the emails were intercepted by Mrs. Eisen.
Hello.
Yeah. Susie Schuster.
She's hot.
Who is a... Susie Schuster?
Oh, no, the woman. Alicia, I'm sorry.
Yes, she is, Buzz.
Yeah.
Rich Eisen's wife, not so much.
Right.
Susie Schuster is a sideline reporter for ABC's college football.
She got mad when they have, this is weird, Rich Eisen and his wife have separate email accounts and a joint email account.
Which is probably common in a lot of marriages.
Well, I think at some level, because they both work in broadcasting.
Right.
Maybe you've got the one that would be like for people in the business.
What does his wife do? Is she on air?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She's a sideline reporter for college football. On
yeah, that's right. She is.
I mentioned that.
We actually talked to him about that at one point, now that I remember.
If I didn't mention it, yes, his wife is also in broadcasting.
The anchor is a separate entity, but his wife is a sideline reporter.
So the alleged love triangle is Rich Eisen. The piece of stud meat in the middle, then his wife, the sideline reporter,
right,
and the chick from Fox, Philadelphia.
Who's an anchor?
Yes, a TV reporter.
A TV reporter.
Oh. Okay, so she works for CBS up there. Let me see. Blah, 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 blah. Susie Schuster, sideline reporter for ABC's college football broadcast, hit the roof when she discovered 7 emails and bikini photos sent by Lane. Works for Fox now. Used to work for the CBS affiliate.
Booyah!
And she's recently divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Now the chick in Philadelphia is.
Oh.
She sent these emails to an account that she and Rich Eisen share.
So she's been swimming in Lake Eisen?
Well, here's the deal. I guess, because they printed some of this in the New York Post today, and page 6 in the letter that Rich Eisen's wife sent to the TV reporter. Now, here's why I think something is screwy going on.
All right.
That Rich Eisen, I guess, says to his wife, I have no idea why this chick is sending me photos.
I don't even have an opinion.
Right?
Good start.
Listen to what the wife wrote. The wife wrote this. This is from page 6, New York Post.
And she's a reporter.
Here we go. Susie Schuster writes, Dear Alicia, boy, you look amazing in a bikini. Congratulations, whatever you're doing, Pilates, yoga, keep doing it. It's working for you. Anyway, sorry, but those 7 emails that you sent to my husband, Rich, well, oops, they came to the email address we both use from time to time.
Oh!
Ouch. But don't worry. I will forward the beach shots, as well as the ones of you dancing with your friends, to his main address. Do you have it? She then provided the woman with her husband's private email address.
Very cool.
That's nice.
Since you surely are trying so hard to get his attention. I mean, what better way to get a guy's attention than with skin? Best, Susie Schuster Eisen.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Now, so there's obviously trouble in the Eisen household.
Now, if you bother to Google Alicia Lane, A-L-Y-C-I-A, Lane, and then you also Google Susie, S-U-Z-Y, Schuster, S-H-U-S-T-E-R.
Right.
I think you'll see that perhaps old Rich is doing some extra writing with his pen. He's dipping his pen into many different inkwells.
He's writing on 2 different sets of stationery.
Here's the thing. Of the 3 of them, the lady from Philly's hot.
Right.
Rich Eisen is second hottest. And Rich Eisen's wife looks like my dog's ass.
Oh, no.
I find it impossible to believe that this hot piece of ass from Philadelphia out of the blue says, you know, out of everybody in the world, I'm going to send shots of myself in a bikini to Rich Eisen because I think he's so dreamy.
Unless there's something going on.
Right.
Well, there would be no way, would there?
Well,
I mean, there would really be no way that she wouldn't just be a fan. She's in the business.
So that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying Rich Eisen is, I mean, a guy.
And it would be, was it just pictures, or were there, and was there any text with it?
Just pictures, according to this, just
see,
pictures.
That makes it a little tough to decipher.
Yeah. Just send pictures.
Hold on. Do they have any of the pictures?
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, here we go. I got it now, I got the link. You want to come over and take a look?
This is very, very interesting.
Okay. Bikini emails, Rattle TV Wife, page 6. Come on, here we go. Here it is, Mike. You got it right here.
These are the Alicia pictures.
Yeah, I think so.
Come on. God damn, this is a slow computer.
All of them in this building.
You know, you know what comes up first, Mike? All of the pop-up ads.
Well, there he is, first of all, and he's just dreaming.
There he is. Now, come on.
There in that picture.
No, the pictures aren't there.
Oh, drag.
I'm sorry. She's divorced. Hold on. Let me see. Oh, my goodness. Let me see.
She's divorced and so is he.
A source told Page Six, Alicia is divorced and looking for love in the wrong places. She sent Rich Eisen an email saying she was going to Los Angeles, and she attached risque pictures to whet his appetite.
Well, so that sounds as though there hasn't been contact.
But that says a source told Page Six. What I'm saying to you is use your freaking head. Look at that woman from the Philadelphia station. More importantly, look at Rich Eisen.
And why would she send pictures of herself dancing with friends if they didn't have some sort of...
You got some pictures over there for Mike to see?
Just before.
Whoa! Is that Alicia?
That's Alicia. She's beautiful.
God, that lucky son of a bitch.
She's gorgeous.
Look at her.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. Mike, okay.
She is striking.
All right, come to my screen. Here you
all
go.
Right.
Here you go.
You got Susie?
Here they are. I got her. Here you go. Here's your best comparison. There's the TV lady. There's his wife.
All right.
There's his wife, Miss Hush Puppy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look at that dog's ass.
Yeah.
Susie Schuster.
If you want a Sopranos reference, it's Adrian and Carmella.
That is harsh to Adrian. I mean, that's harsh to Carmella.
It was the only one that I could come up with at the time.
It's like, are there any animals on the Sopranos?
You mean it should be Adrian and the ducks that fly into Tony's pool?
Yeah.
How about Adrian and Paulie Walnuts?
So common sense would say that Rich Eisen, if you're looking at these women at face value.
Right now, the way the story's written and the way it's presented, it is making the reporter from Philadelphia look like the bad one here.
Like she's pursuing Rich Eisen because he's hot as balls and he's the guy that all the chicks have to have.
You know there's got to be more than the story. I mean,
and
there's just got... It won't be... She's sitting around the newsroom. I just think he is the dreamiest.
And here's what I'm thinking, Rich Eisen. Rich Eisen, I'm assuming, and when you assume you make an ass out of you and me, I'm assuming that he's already had lunch with this woman from Philadelphia.
They would... You know, the nature of their occupations would lend itself to the theory that they are... You know, that they've had some professional contact.
And I'm guessing that his wife, the dog, came to him and said, you know, hey, Rich, what's going up with these? And he said, you know, hey, darling, you with your awful dog horse face, how could I possibly be attracted to her? She's sending this to me. Go ahead. Send her an email back.
And no other emails. Nobody's done any real digging on this just yet to find out what's going on. Do you think this story will die, or do you think that there will be more information to follow?
Well, I don't know how much coverage the story is getting because...
Is there anything in the Philly papers about it? I'd be curious to know if there's anything in the...
I got it from
Inquirer or something like that?
I got it from Page Six in New York.
So it's made the New York papers, yeah.
I don't know anything about it in any other newspaper.
I wonder if she's in any professional hot water in Philadelphia.
It sure does seem to me, though.
You stop it.
Golly, let me just think about it for a second.
All right.
It is impossible that anyone would look at Rich Eisen and say, man, I got to have me some of that. It's impossible.
It just seems implausible that you would have, just out of the blue,
and also,
she would throw herself. That's the email equivalent of throwing yourself at somebody.
All right, so here's what I pictured happening. Rich Eisen gets this news. His wife comes to him and says, hey, I got the email from your bitch girlfriend. And he says, you know, in that Rich Eisen way, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, go ahead and write her back. I don't care. She's out of her mind. Meanwhile, he goes to his cell and he says, you are going to get an email from my wife. Disregard it immediately.
On the private cell phones that they have for each other. But
right now,
the facts as they are laid out.
Is that weird or is that weird?
The facts as they're laid out, you could get total deniability right now. You could, I mean, if there's no other information to follow, he could say, I have no idea what this is about. And she could say, seriously, if she was really covering his ass, she could come out and say, I've always been a fan. I think he's just dreamy. And I had no idea because they have separate names that he was married. I thought Schuster was his secretary.
That's what they could say.
I don't know. Hello, Don and Mike. I just think it's funny anyone wants to have sex with Rich Eisen. Even his wife.
I think it might be a miracle.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Oops. Hello there. You're on the air.
Hi. I was calling to tell you that your old friend Eddie Money is coming back to town with the CBS Radio Concert Series.
I think that says a lot about the CBS Radio Concert Series.
Thanks so much for letting us know that. Now we can get our tickets early.
Let me know when Scritti Politti is going to be flying. What, Buzz?
He said, mark your calendar. God knows I'm trying.
You could have gone home, that friend.
You really could have.
It's your call.
No, hold on a second.
No, I'm here.
This is classic here. Buzz.
No, I'm here.
It's not our call.
I got my stuff, I'm here. Okay. I'm giving it everything I can.
We know you are.
Yeah.
But if it would do your voice better...
Yeah, but if you tell him to go home, then he gets to put his picture up on the Al-Qaeda website with all the other martyrs.
He does.
That's the way it works. That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
It?
If you want to go home, you got to say it. You just got to say it. But you don't want to go home.
No, I don't.
And you don't think that you're doing any damage to your voice?
I don't think so. Okay. That's what the doctor tells me.
All right. What do you think about Rich Eisen?
I think he's not very handsome, but perhaps the luckiest man alive.
What is your take on that, Buzz?
I think you nailed it exactly. I think, you know, in his position, his best thing to do is say, I don't know who this woman is. She just sent me pictures.
How much Metamucil do you think Rich Eisen could take without his stomach starting to expand?
Oh, I think just the prescribed amount.
And you certainly wouldn't wait. And we still haven't gotten anybody calling in to enlighten us as to what the overdose potential is for Metamucil.
So those are two questions we have now. First, what's going on with Rich Eisen screwing around?
Right. Has he ever OD'd on Metamucil?
Hello, Don and Mike show. And does Buzz need to go home or not?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey.
I don't think he needs to go home.
Good.
He's a professional. Hey, what if that was a prank?
Oh, the pictures, you mean?
You mean like...
I thought you meant Buzz pretending that he's...
Nasty.
That's the what if the greatest vocal impression I have ever heard of the business.
Thank you.
Who's in a prank on, and is she trying to get at Rich Eisen?
All right, I'm going to hear this caller out, and I'm going to tell you that this is a possible situation. What if, okay?
Okay.
What if they have had some sort of contact...
Right.
And he... perhaps said something to her.
He ended it with her, you mean?
Or he just said something to her in a very forward way, and then they got to talking. I mean, it could happen.
She said, like, I really like the way you do highlights, and he said, boy, I'd like to
show
you like a carpenter's tool.
Or he saw her somewhere at some professional thing, and then she said, hey, just to screw with him, I'm going to send him all these pictures. I mean, it just seems to me, if they were having... Well, TV people are dumb. We've established that. So she could have made the mistake. I'm just saying we don't have enough information. There are lots of things that could happen.
We already know about... I don't know if it's going on anymore, and don't worry, I'm not going to say any names or give any hints.
Right.
But we know about, with great assertion, the greatest affair in the history of sports television.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. With one broadcaster screwing another one.
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Write down the name, and I'll tell you if it was the name I was thinking of.
Nah, Summerall, right?
What if she left her email account?
You're half right.
Oh, that's right. That's not the one I was thinking about.
Write down the one you were thinking about.
It wasn't a broadcaster,
though. There's more than one?
It wasn't a broadcaster.
Because the one that I was talking about was an alleged vicious triangle as well. We sure did. Man. Just about everywhere we heard it. They were like inseparable.
I don't know why I was thinking of that name.
What if her account was left open and someone just...
Refresh my memory. Write the other name down for the one that you had written before.
With him?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Right? Had you heard that 1,000 years ago?
Yeah. And then we had talked about it recently. I think off air we had talked about it recently.
They've had a long-standing agreement.
Here's the frustration I have with this story. Because we had Rich on the show. We know the guy. We know that he's, he's very full of himself. And we had a very difficult time with him. I hope that somebody does a little bit more investigating. Right now, the way this is set up and in our, we forget in 5 minutes culture, this thing will go away. It'll go away for two reasons.
First, no one knows about it.
That's the second reason. I was going to say nobody cares about these people. And secondly... you know, there. The story's out there today, and if nobody does any digging,
yeah,
that's going to be it, unless Rich Eisen decides to overcorrect.
Yeah.
If he decides to overcorrect, there could be a problem.
He may have already made an overcorrection by allowing his wife to get involved in this.
There, you know, there's been contact with them about this, because that's a, I mean, who released this whole story to the paper?
Can't you see this happening as well? Well, Rich, if I've got nothing to hide, why don't I just leak my letter to page six?
That would be fine, honey.
And it could be a very calculated risk on his part, because, look, it's going to be somewhere where the reporter will have to answer to this.
Yeah.
If the reporter is, if she's the one they're saying is in hot water, she's got to answer to this.
Yeah, they're hanging it on her right now. Why are you hanging it? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
That poor woman.
Hello. And you are out of luck.
That was Alicia calling.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hey, Buzz going home is a no-go. He used to work in Wichita. He could eat a dirt clod and spit out spring water. He broke in Kirstie Alley, for God's sake.
I forgot that Buzz was such a legendary figure in
Wichita radio.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? He's a tough dude.
Right. He's the Paul Bunyan of Wichita, my friend.
He is indeed.
He can eat clods of dirt and spit out spring water.
And today he is going to achieve martyrdom.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
A thousand virgins await me.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Just look for the website with Buzz with the explosive strapped around his waist.
Hi there. You're on the air.
Hi, Don and Mike. What's happening?
Hey. Just the fact we just discussed that we've just discovered Rich Eisen has a penis.
Or and Alicia thinks so.
And he knows how to use it. I was like, he's got penis. He knows how to use it.
Ladies come running for a sharp dressed man.
Hey, I've been wanting to talk about this absinthe, this liquor. And Buzz, yeah. I know he's got the Metamucil dilemma, but he actually brought it up that he hit the liquor cabinet and had a little absinthe.
Right.
Yep.
I was wondering, have you guys seen that Anthony Bourdain, No Reservations, when he visits Paris and he gets all lit up on the absinthe?
No.
I have not.
Is he a comedian?
No, he is a chef, and it's a travel show. But he visits a bar in France, and they have an absinthe machine.
A machine?
Like a
machine to chill it?
Is that like a Jägermeister machine?
It kind of looks like a pair of ovaries, and one side has the absinthe.
Oh, like a Back to the Future type machine, or? I'm thinking if it was like a Jägermeister machine. My God, could we get that in here?
Oh God!
No, Jacob has explained this to us. It's like two tanks, big ones with really small spigots. So the water comes out of one spigot, the absinthe out of another, and the water comes really slow so it dissolves the sugar properly.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember how Jacob pours as slow as he can?
Jacob.
So they keep it on the bar.
Boy, wouldn't we have a good time with that in here?
It's basically two urns.
Wow. How much is a Greek urn?
Okay, thank you for the call.
Okay.
Bye-bye. We got to hit a break here so we can talk to the rabbi.
I bet Rich Eisen could use that machine.
Who wants to convince us that Spider-Man is a Jew?
All right.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Must have been very exciting last night. You see, the character he plays, Spider-Man's character, is originally from Astoria, Queens, one of the boroughs here in New York City. Mm. So it was a great idea they had.
Sure.
They held the premiere at this Metroplex, I think like 12 theaters.
Yeah.
And they opened it last night, all the theaters running at the same time, Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
A lot of excitement outside the studio, too, huh?
It was great. It was, I got back from the world premiere, and to end here in New York and bring Peter Parker, Spider-Man, back to Queens was unbelievable, and there were tons of fans there.
Sure.
And it was a lot of fun.
It'd be a thrill for the people of that community anyway.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it's their character. You know, I think they feel that kind of connection with
their guy.
Yeah,
but is he Jewish?
It's a one-way trip to Fist City. The Don and Mike Show.
Here's the deal, Mike.
Yes.
Joining us on the phone now is a rabbi, Simcha Weinstein.
Rabbi Simcha Weinstein.
Is it Weinstein?
Hello, Rabbi.
How are you doing?
Shalom. Welcome to the Don and Mike Show.
It's great to be on the show.
Nice to have you.
Rabbi, it is Weinstein, I take it?
That's it.
Yes.
And your website is Rabbi...
Simcha.
Simcha.com.
That's it.
And Spider-Man is Jewish.
Really?
So, I mean, Jews are not superheroes, and superheroes, you know, may not be Jewish, but there's certainly a strong claim for a little bit of a Jewish ownership on Spider-Man. Stan Lee, his creator, was born Stan Lee Martin Lieber, a second-generation Jewish immigrant in America.
Uh-huh.
He changed his name, he changed identity, and he comes up with this character of Spider-Man who sort of symbolically, you could say, parallels the Jewish experience in America. He's assimilated, he changed his name, he has a double identity.
I always thought that I think everyone knows the world's greatest Jewish superhero is Jerry Seinfeld.
Jerry Seinfeld.
That's gold, Jerry.
What did he change his name from, Rabbi?
I actually think that Spider-Man is really Seinfeld with webbing. You know, he's neurotic, he's nebbish.
I told you, Seinfeld.
You know, he's almost like a Woody Allen, sort of dark hair, glasses, kretching. You know, whenever he's Peter Parker, he can't get a job, can't get a...
Who are these crooks?
A lot of Soros.
Well, before Parker, was it... Parkerstein or something like that?
No, that John Stewart actually said to Tobey Maguire when he did the first Spider-Man, he said, you should know that everyone in Hollywood is Jewish and it's pronounced Irvin Spider-Man. So that's what John Stewart said.
What about Batman and Spider-Man? Are they Jews too?
And Superman.
Well,
Spider-Man, I'm sorry.
Interestingly enough, Batman was created by Bob Kane, second-generation Jewish immigrant born Bob Kahn. Superman created by second-generation Jewish immigrants Jerry Siegel, Joseph Shuster from Cleveland, Ohio. They actually said they based Superman on Moses. If you think about the story of Moses, sent away in a reed basket, grows up to be the people's savior. It's kind of like Superman, sent away in a rocket ship, foreign culture, foreign land. He becomes the savior of humanity.
Hey, you know, I should point out in here it says that you say that Superman's alien name, Kal-El, is Hebrew for vessel of God.
Yep, it's a Hebrew word. You know, perhaps subconsciously, these guys, you know, their minds were wandering in Sunday school, and they were sort of doodling in class, and this is their creation.
Do you think that this phenomenon with characters is strictly in superheroes? What about, could Fred Flintstone be a Jew?
You know, I haven't really thought about it or researched it, but
what about?
I'll leave that one up to you.
What about,
are there any other secret superheroes in Jewish culture?
I mean, the Fantastic Four, for example. The Thing of Fantastic Four.
Is the Thing a Jew?
His name in the comic is Benjamin Jacob Grimm. He grows up on Yancey Street. He was created by Jack Kirby, born Jacob Kurtzberg, whose father's name was Jacob and Benjamin. And so you see a strong connection to the Thing in Fantastic Four.
What about the Green Goblin? Any Jewish roots there?
Well, a lot of their creators were Jewish. I always like to say that, you know, ultimately...
Spider-Man?
Ultimately, these characters are fictional aliens, but, you know, I write in my book, if someone's name ends in man, they're either a superhero, Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, or they're Jewish. Lippman, Feldman, and Goldman.
So now it's just hit me like a bolt light. Spider-Man, Superman...
Forgot to mention the name of the book, which is Up, Up, and Oy Vey. Up, Up, and Oy Vey.
And if you think, you know, if there was a superhero based on a candy lover, he could be Sugarman, which is actually a proper Jewish name.
As long as it's kosher, it's good to go.
So going under your theory, Green Lantern would not be a Jew. However, Plastic Man would be.
That's it.
So anyone with the M-A-N ending of the name... Potential Jew.
Definitely potential. I don't know if it's a member of the tribe, but definitely a potential.
But Peter Parker, Spider-Man, is actually the most Jewish of all the superheroes?
Well, I think Superman's probably the most Jewish, or the Thing in the comics is actually openly Jewish. But it's been said that Spider-Man's entirely motivated by guilt. He's guilty about the death of Uncle Ben, and this is something that Jews in America are always feeling sort of guilty and have this notion of guilt always sort of over their head.
But Rabbi, I know that we're talking about Spider-Man because the movie's coming out, but if you had to pick the biggest Jew superhero? Would it be Spider-Man or Superman?
The biggest is probably The Thing, but my favorite
the
is
thing.
Spider-Man. My favorite is
so
Death
you just
Spider-Man.
Said you just said The Thing is Jewish.
Yes.
And he's absolutely Jewish.
He's absolutely
so
he's
Ben
out
Grimm,
of the closet.
The character in the
character is out of the closet. Okay. He's Jewish.
All right, now as far as I know, they've never. I keep going into the voice. They've never actually dealt with Superman's religion. As I don't think they've ever dealt with Spider-Man's religion in the comics.
Right. Well, the Kents are clearly Catholic in the comics.
Rabbi, is this, in your opinion, getting Jewish youth back to temple?
Well, you know, I'm the rabbi of Pratt Institute, a very established art school. And when I talk about the Sabbath and kosher and the holidays, they sort of look at me and say, hey, rabbi, you know, you're a cute guy, but this is just boring. You know, when I talk about superheroes, you know, it spices up my sermon. I always get an interest. And I think there's a spiritual connection that crosses over to all religions in the sense that every one of us has a double identity. You know, every one of us has the nebbish Peter Parker or Clark Kent that just wants to assimilate, fit in.
And please to explain for our non-Jewish listeners.
Rich Eisen has a double identity.
Nebbish, that word. You've used it a couple of times.
Right, so nebbish sort of is a little bit like weak, perhaps. You could make the comparison neurotic, like maybe Seinfeld or Woody Allen.
Woody Allen, definitely nebbish.
Definitely nebbish.
But Woody Allen, definitely not a superhero.
Definitely not a superhero. But I think every one of us has the superhero. I talk about the soul in Hebrew, the neshama. Every one of us has the power to help the world and heal the world. And it just sort of matters what type of costume.
But I should point out, Rabbi, that Spider-Man would be one of the superheroes that comes to mind immediately that does all of his superhero work with his head covered.
Right. He's very concealed.
What about Iron Man?
Iron Man, also created by Jews.
And what about Hawkman?
Hawkman, I'm not actually sure about. But I know the Hulk was created by Jewish writers.
But his name is not Hawkman.
Actually, most famously, X-Men.
X-Men.
Oh, are the so all of the X-Men are Jews?
If you saw the X-Men movie, Magneto is actually a Holocaust survivor in the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
And what about Stretch Armstrong?
Sorry?
Who? That's an action figure.
You mean Mr. Yes. Fantastic?
See, I'm out of my element. I'm sorry. That's not a comic book?
What about Aquaman?
Aquaman, well, his name is Man, so it's close.
What's the Stretch comic book hero? What's the guy that stretches his arms out?
Plastic Man.
Plastic Man.
I said it already.
Oh, you did? Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
I always like to tell people, ultimately, none of them are Jewish, but what I try and do with my book and with my teachings is sort of give a little bit of the legacy of these Jewish comic book writers and illustrators and really reclaim this legacy that they have in American popular culture.
Rabbi, what can we learn from our Jewish superheroes?
We can learn that every one of us has to be a superhero, and we shouldn't be afraid, and we shouldn't go through life trying to please other people like Peter Parker and Clark Kent. We should tap into who we really are inside and save the world.
On the holiest of holy days, let me ask you, what would Superman and Spider-Man do if they should be in temple? If they should be reflecting on their life, if they should be getting atonement, what if the spidey sense goes off? Which master do they answer to?
Well, according to Jewish law, to save a life, everything else is secondary. So these guys would be out of the temple, and they'd be saving the world.
And that would also be, that would give them a free pass on doing a lot of their work after sundown?
Oh, yeah.
That would count, too?
Big time.
Would they be able to get out of going to church on Saturday?
I think I would let them off a couple of times.
Because for my money, here's a shock. I'm not Jewish. Gosh, I wish I was.
Mm-hmm.
But
so do I.
I wish I could experience all religions. That's how great I feel about mankind.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, the big drag, if you were Jewish, was when I had Jewish friends growing up, it was, you dudes got to go to church on Saturday.
Yeah.
Sunday, you get out of the way Sunday morning, like Saturday night.
Right.
Got to go to church on Saturday.
That's when temple is, Rabbi, right? Usually Saturday evening?
Friday night, Saturday morning.
Yeah. So Friday night, Saturday morning. Who would be the most devout superhero?
The most devout?
Good question, huh?
That is a good question.
Thank you, Rabbi.
I think Batman's a little bit sort of fanatic.
Oh, Batman too?
Batman's pretty fanatical.
Hey, is Robin a Jew?
Robin, the Boy Wonder. I think it depends, you know, on how Batman's feeling that day.
Is kryptonite kosher?
Kryptonite is definitely kosher.
Really?
Definitely.
Right, because Superman is Jewish.
That's
and
true.
My wife makes a great kryptonite matzah ball soup.
Is Lex Luthor Jewish?
Lex Luthor's not Jewish.
Ah. Do you know what religion
they
he is?
They actually say that Lex Luthor is based on Lucifer.
Oh, Satan.
Makes sense.
There we go.
Lucifer, do you use Lucifer or Satan? And can I ask you a question?
Sure, anything.
What is that bell that I hear going off in the background?
The bell is the bell of the synagogue to let us know someone's at the door.
Oh, so you're very busy entertaining superheroes.
I'm busy.
I thought an angel was getting his wings. It's that great Jewish movie, It's a Wonderful Life.
Right. And have you seen the Superman 3 movie
yet,
Rabbi?
I've seen the movie. I'm going to be going with my wife
Spider-Man,
Sunday
sorry.
Night. We're seeing Spider-Man Sunday night.
Do you have any of the superhero costumes? And if you did have a costume, would you consider wearing it during one of your services?
I got to be honest, I don't think I could fit into any of the costumes.
Are you a fat rabbi?
Well, you know, I'm the Pratt rabbi. I'm also a little bit of a fat rabbi, so, yeah.
Can you fly?
I haven't tried it, and I doubt.
Well, you should answer that door, Rabbi. You should go answer your door.
Are these just a series of people coming into the synagogue, or is this one person who's very...
It's actually parents coming to pick up their kids from the preschool.
Oh, the preschool. Okay,
yeah.
It's time to go home.
Well, I hope someone is answering the door, that they're not just all gathering in mass.
They're waiting down the street. No, we have someone answering the door.
Is there anything in Hebrew that you could say that would involve superheroes, for the simple reason that we love to listen to other languages?
Shalom means peace, means goodbye.
I know that one.
There's actually a Shalom man, believe it or not, in comic books.
Shalom man?
He's there somewhere.
Shalom man?
Oh. I am Shalom man.
That's it, he's there.
That's wonderful.
See, I'm going through my entire list. Silver Surfer, not a Jew, right?
Silver Surfer, I would say not a Jew.
All right, what about...
Any more you got? You got
the
any more?
Flash.
They say that some of these superheroes, their costumes...
Has Spider-Man and Batman been circumcised, and how...
I think maybe a chainsaw.
I believe, Rabbi, they are now pounding on the door. Are you distracted, Rabbi?
No, we're good.
Everything's good. What's the Ben Affleck character that was blind?
Daredevil.
Daredevil? Is Daredevil Jewish?
Daredevil is actually Christian.
He's Christian?
Oh, yeah.
Christian.
Has Superman been circumcised?
Superman?
Yes.
Well, his costume's pretty tight, so I think that he has.
I like that.
You think he has? And, I'm trying to think. Well, now, Captain America was very famous for fighting the Nazis.
Right.
Captain America, not a Jew.
Well, Captain America created by two Jews, Jack Kirby and Joe Simon. And what's interesting is Captain America was the first superhero to openly engage in the Second World War. The first issue has the Captain smashing Hitler across the face.
Right. Uh-huh.
And coming from Jewish writers and illustrators who were getting letters home from their family in the old country about what was happening in Germany, this image is extremely powerful and poignant.
Do you think there is a chance that we will ever see, or are there any superheroes in comic books that have the dreadlocks and the full beard? They're not called dreadlocks, are they?
They're actually called hairs.
Hairs.
Sidelocks. And if anyone's out there that wants to do a Rabbi Simcha comic book, I am happy to offer my services.
Do you have a full beard, Rabbi?
Full beard.
Ah, very good.
Go check out the website. You'll see it's pretty full.
Oh, Rabbi Simcha.
Can you? I only have one more question. Can you tell me of any Catholic or Episcopalian superheroes?
Plenty. Daredevil for one. You can have Daredevil.
Daredevil's Catholic.
Well, he sucks. He sucks. Give me a better one.
Ghost Rider.
Oh, come on. He sucks. Aren't there any good Catholic or Episcopalian?
I think you could actually, if you look at the comics, I think you could take Batman.
Any Irish Catholics?
Oh, you say Catholics could take Batman?
I think Batman's Catholic. I mean, there's a lot of issues where he's
Holy Communion.
His room.
All right, so Batman might be Catholic.
I think Batman may be Catholic, but his creators were Jewish.
Gotcha. Holy day of obligation.
And what about, like, Scooby-Doo and the Archies? Again, you don't comment on...
No comment on the Scooby-Doo.
There's more people showing up with their kids.
More people to pick. Rabbi, it sounds like you have to go deal with the children.
Do you think his name used to be Fred Flintstein?
Oh, dear.
Barney Rubin?
Okay, guys. Next time you guys in Brooklyn, you have to come over for matzo ball soup.
Oh, wonderful, Rabbi!
And we got to continue this conversation.
God bless you. We'll call you on anything Jewish that we have questions about.
Nice.
Sounds great. Anytime.
Bye, Rabbi.
Shalom.
Okay. God bless. Shalom.
Bye-bye. Shalom.
Bye, bye.
Rabbi Simcha Weinstein.
You know, we've had religious people on, but you got to love the rabbis. Yeah. The rabbis bring it to the table. They really, really do.
They do.
They always do, and it's fascinating to know. But all you have to know is all the heroes, Spider-Man.
He's a Jew.
Spider-Man, does whatever a spider.
Who knew?
Who's his love interest, Spider-Man?
MJ.
MJ. Like
Mary Jane.
Here comes the Spider-Man. Hello, Mary Jane. I'm really looking forward to coming over there. You live in the house next to me. Man, am I in love with you. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to make out with you while hanging upside down. Delightful, MJ. And the Green Goblin. The Green Goblin is trying to catch me and kill me. I'm going to save the world. Thank you very much. I'm Spider-Man, otherwise known as Peter Parker. Thank you.
RabbiSimcha.com.
Oh, there he is.
There's a picture of a good rabbi.
Wow. Who's that guy he's with?
I don't know. It's Purim Day, though.
That is Purim, yeah.
Purim?
Purim.
Purim.
I believe the guy that he's with was on a...
Rabbi Simcha looks like Gallagher.
The guy that he's with is the winner of Ethiopian Idol.
That's a very thin man.
Very thin.
Eat a sandwich.
Wow.
But happy.
They look like they're having a blast, don't they?
Sure.
They really look like they're having a good time.
Purim is a fun holiday.
Purim? Is it Purim or Purim?
I think it's Purim.
Is that a shampoo?
It is delightful.
That's
my beard
Purell,
is...
Mike.
Purell.
Purell.
Yeah, sorry
my beard
about
has never been shinier.
Purell.
Purell, man. No germs for you. Watch out, everybody. I'm really excited about this. I'm Cal L. By they. What a fine day we're having now. Yes. Good stuff. My name is Peter Parker. I'll be wearing a black suit in my most recent picture.
We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, let me set this up. We've not done a lot of talking about Idol today. Here is a tape of Ryan Seacrest talking about what Simon Cowell was really like when they made the trip to Africa for the whole Idol Gives Back thing.
Well, we were making this trip, you know, to Africa, and he called and he said, I'll only do this if you'll do it with me. And I thought, you know, considering our relationship on the air, I thought, this is a cool thing. Let's try and do some good. So we travel over to Kenya, and we get there late at night. The next morning, we're going to start very early to go into some of these slums, which are just, they're horrendous. And these people have really, really suffered. And they suffered more when they saw Simon, because he showed up in the same awful stuff he wears on American Idol. I mean, there we are in this really tough place, and he's got on these Armani leather boots, acid-washed jeans, a pack of cigarettes, a cell phone, a tight, you know, tight T-shirt.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just thinking, they've been through enough, Simon.
The Don and Mike Show.
I believe him.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I didn't hear... can boo, okay? Please let me talk first. Thank you.
Experts at doing the toilet facility. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Bow, 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 bow. Why don't we get Eddie on that show on American Idol? Even Eddie, I don't care if it's effed up, Eddie or...
Have you seen Eddie since he came out of rehab?
I've seen the picture of him like at a NASCAR race or something.
Yeah, he looks great. But I mean, they had a split screen on the internet with Eddie before and Eddie after.
Yeah.
Shaved his all his hair off, and he was it was dyed blonde, and he got his teeth fixed. Eddie looks really, really good.
Eddie,
internet.
Yeah, I don't know about American Idol. I tell you what, if those two don't get voted off tonight, oh, who am I threatening?
Yeah,
what's going to happen? I'm going to blow a big snot bubble.
Still maintaining Blake is going to be gone tonight.
Beatbox Boy and also Jordan Sparks.
I know. I agree with you on Jordan Sparks. I really think it's going to be Chris Justin Timberlake.
Absolutely, 100%.
Chris Richardson.
Let me see. There's a million things. God damn, we've got a list to get to. Stories to get to. We got a pretty decent Craig Wilson today.
Good.
Tell me about any of these things that you're remotely involved in. You might want to embrace.
Right.
I read that Alec Baldwin has a new movie coming out.
You know, I mean, he's is he still going to stay on his television show?
Yes.
He offered his resignation. They refused.
Right. He has a movie coming out called Suburban Girl. Thank you for the tip with that, Robbie. The movie's called Suburban Girl.
They actually changed the title. The title is now going to be Suburban Pig.
Well, now, the movie is set for summer release.
Okay.
And in the movie, he plays a real bad dad.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's like the worst timing possible.
Yeah.
I was reading...
You know, when you say something like that, I immediately get the red flare going up. The worst timing possible or the best timing possible.
No, because at one point during the movie, the daughter calls Alec Baldwin's character a piece of S father. And like the audience is laughing at the wrong places
okay.
in the movie because
everything
that happened.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
You know, I believe in the Hollywood PR machine, but maybe not that much.
Yeah, no, that's the main thing that I had to read to let me know is real. They're laughing at the wrong places.
But, I think Mel Gibson has proven that no matter what your scandals are, you know, they can go on and release the movie, and really the curiosity factor will probably help the box office on it.
Let me see. Another thing. Who cares about Deborah Messing? You know, although I know why I pulled this out to bring this to your attention.
Why?
I'm glad she brought this out. She's got no boobs.
Yep.
Deborah Messing.
She'd be incredible if she did.
Deborah Messing is now coming out now that Will and Grace is off the air, saying that for years they made her wear those fake boob implant things in her bra to make her look bigger chested, and it was only in the final season of the show that she said she wanted to be as she really truly is.
And she really has, she's Kelly Ripa-like, I think.
That was what I was going to ask you, Mike. Who do you think, I think Kelly Ripa is the flattest full-grown woman ever.
It's very hard, certainly on television, to think of a woman who is less endowed than Kelly Ripa. And, you know, even when Deborah Messing has been for so many years all over the tabloids. She loves award shows. She never misses one. And, you know, she wears the gown.
She's got enough that at least she could wear a push-up bra and wear those, like, jelly boob things.
I'm wondering now, with all those award shows that she went to, if she was actually wearing the jelly boobs when she was at the award shows, because she actually comes across looking pretty strong in some of those gowns.
Sure does.
Jelly boobs.
Jelly boobs.
Jelly boobs.
Jelly boobs
of my wife. Love it when women discuss their boobs.
Yeah. Does she say she's going to get them augmented at all? Or?
No, she likes the fact that she's flat chested.
Okay, very good.
And then last night, I think it was, what's the one with Billy Bush? Oh, Access.
Access.
Yeah, they had Jamie Presley on.
Yeah.
This was the quote.
The pregnant Jamie Presley.
She said, "My boobs are out of control."
Oh. Is that when you pulled the chair up closer to the television?
And then she said, "I think I could feed a village."
You have to love that.
Yeah.
You have to love that.
God.
You know, it's that picture that we saw the other day. Oh, God.
You know something?
Hey, you know something?
No, what?
I had a dream last night.
God, what would Elvis say? Her father.
Look at all the babies we killed.
I'm so pleased.
It's another Presley, Mike.
Oh, different spelling.
It's not the same Presley.
Hey.
Hold on. This Imus thing. Yeah. We should talk about this. I mentioned this very briefly at the opening of the show today.
Mike and I are lucky enough to have in our contract something that most disc jockeys wish they have. It's called a dog bite clause.
Dog bite clause is very, very significant to people that do what we do.
Meaning, for instance, we do something that the company doesn't like.
Mm-hmm.
We're blessed enough to have a no-cut contract. Meaning that unless we just come on the air and break every single FCC rule,
right,
they really can't fire us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a dog bite clause, which right. means if we do something that is in the gray area.
Right.
But, yeah, baby, exactly, Rob.
Something that is bad. This is the best way to explain it. Something the company doesn't want us to do, but is not so egregious that
we can get fired for it. They can send us a letter. They right. send us a letter that says, this is a warning, knock it off, stop it.
Right.
And we only got the letter one time in our whole life. And
yeah.
it was when we were fighting with ONA.
Right.
When Ken Stephens sent us a letter and said, I am ordering you, by the way your contract is written, not to talk about Opie and Anthony anymore.
To cease and desist.
Stop this fighting, and if you do, we're going to fire your ass tomorrow.
Right. It is a very heavy, heavy-handed letter that comes down from the company, but it's something they need to send.
So.
When they want to affect that kind of change.
Right. What I just said, as I have maintained from day one, you can interpret it any way you like. It was not indecent. It did not break FCC rules.
No, it did not.
And, as it turns out now, I'm reading in Forbes magazine, Ibis has a dog bite contract.
Right, right.
Now,
which I'm not surprised that he does.
Hold on, I got to read you the exact language of this, from his contract. Because CBS has fired him without money. He had $40 million left on his contract.
Wow. I didn't know that. I didn't know it was $40 million or not.
Okay, let me see. He's got the best trial lawyers in America.
Right. Has he got named representation? Has he got new representation? Some heavy hitters?
Martin Garbus, a New York-based attorney, widely recognized as one of the country's best First Amendment lawyers.
Okay.
Now,
that's interesting. That's interesting, too.
Let me see. The language stipulates that Imus must be given a warning before being fired for doing what he made a career out of, making off-color jokes.
Right.
A lawsuit from Imus could be filed within a month.
Within a month? That's interesting.
Probably because...
I'm surprised it's not quicker. I'm surprised the timetable's not quicker than that.
I think
they're probably getting their ducks in a row, though.
It's probably also a last chance, if they leak this out to Forbes, for CBS to go behind the scenes with Imus.
Yeah, and that's probably
and they,
the way it's going to
end
up. Him. Yeah, I mean, I didn't know that they cut him loose high and dry like that, and they really can't do that.
There's a lot of people that were saying, oh, don't shed any crocodile tears for that old fossil.
Right.
You know, he's got a pile of money to fall back on.
Right.
Well, I guess he does, but...
Sure. But they cut him completely, and
right.
with nothing.
Cut him off.
That's interesting.
But he's got the dog bite clause.
Yeah, the dog bite clause, and it really only one time for us, right? There was one other one we ignored, and that was when they sent us the letter about not doing Elvis to Elvis anymore.
One letter is all it takes. It's called the dog has one bite clause, which means the dog is allowed one bite, and any more bites, the dog is out.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Before
they put us down.
Right. Exactly.
That's right.
Before they put us to sleep.
Yeah.
Right.
My only question is Imus's lawyer a superhero?
I bet he is.
Spiderman. Attorney Spiderman. Spiderman. My name is Bert Spiderman, attorney at law.
I hear superheroes are running Hollywood.
Running the entertainment business.
Word of Christ.
That's an interesting yet plausible theory.
That's Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Yes, it's interesting that Imus has that dog bite contract.
I think this is your finger guy, Mike.
Ah,
no, I'm not the finger guy. Hey.
Yes, go ahead.
He's going to have to apologize to a lot of rappers and say they can say the N-word and everything else, and he has a lot of apologizing to do.
Imus, please. Imus has done enough apologizing.
Yeah.
Christ's
sake. It's not, Imus paid the penalty, the ultimate penalty as far as his career goes, so I don't think he needs to do that anymore. And I really think that, you know, this particular clause that Don is talking about in this contract, the way I look at it, it's a very,
ironclad situation. It's right. a very cut and dry situation.
Hey, you go to CBS and you say you didn't send me a letter, you didn't tell me what I did was wrong, and you just freaking, I almost said the F word, you freaking fire me?
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Yeah.
Meet my attorney, Hawkman.
If you were a betting man, would you say, Hawkman, would you say this does not see a courtroom?
No, it's a slam. It's a slam dunk for Imus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so. If you really want to be sick about the fact that over the next 5 years, the guy was going to make $40 million.
Wow.
I didn't know that. Bernard? And Bernard's going all over the media shooting his mouth off.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, we played the tapes of him on Sean Hannity's right. TV show. Hello,
hey,
Don Imus.
Hey, guys. Hey, what's up? Hey, the bad thing about Don Imus getting fired, I'm a black man myself, and what he said really wasn't that bad as far as how other things he said on that show, other things you guys have said. The problem is that enough people complained about it in order for him to get fired. And what that really reflects is the fact that how many changes have come on your show. I've listened to you guys for 15 years, and you had a ton of changes, a lot of crackdowns come down on your show, but you guys still survived as far as, like, nudity and all that stuff. But what's going to happen is the fact this is really, really going to make the airways more strict for people like yourself. I mean, the idea is to get the joke, and you guys get the joke, and people that listen to your show usually get the joke, no matter how idiotic we may be.
Hey, listen, Mike and I are always one open microphone away from getting our dog bite letter. I mean, it's the way we work.
And I know we're retreading going back to the Imus thing, but I think it's really important to point out, in this particular area of broadcasting, what we do, what people that do, some, you're talking about 4 hours live every day. And you never know when something's going to bite you in the ass. It happens continuously.
You never know what you say is going to really affect one person or a handful of people that just starts this avalanche of things.
You know, F those type of people. Serious, all the special interest groups out there can kiss my big white ass.
CBS.
And I hope that there is an interest group for special interest groups.
You're going to have the people that don't like you saying big white ass. It's the, have you read about that? The BWA Society? It's people with big white asses that, you know, they're sensitive too. And, and I understand they're discriminated against.
You can't say.
You know, CBS was all excited because they never expected him to live out 5 years. That's why they gave him a 5-year, $40 million deal. He wasn't going to live that long.
I don't know if I was going to live that long or not.
How you feeling, man?
I got one lung. He does have one lung, right?
Yes, he does.
Oh, that's right.
Lost his other lung.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, how are you guys doing?
Oh, no, is this a bad Imus impression?
This is Imus.
That is the worst Imus impression I've ever heard.
Get out of here. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Rich Little.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, hold on, guys. Cancel that phone call.
What's going on?
Rich Little made me think, if you thought Rich Little's appearance on our show sucked 2 weeks ago...
Yeah. Sorry, that was me bringing out my Rich Little picture.
Mike got a nice autographed picture of Rich Little for his restaurant today.
Nice.
Go to your DVR from last night, and if you have the nerve, watch John Biner on David Letterman.
Oh, my God, I didn't know he was still alive.
And if you want to see, I am not kidding, maybe the worst 10 minutes in the history of the Letterman show.
He was funny. There was a day where he was funny.
Yes.
He's got to be 80 years old.
Mike, here's the whole shtick. I watched it this morning. It was so awful, I had to save it on the DVR.
Oh, no.
He comes out and he says, hey, Dave, he made Rich Little look happening.
Oh, wow.
No. He says, Dave, you're in the Ed Sullivan Theater.
Oh, he did Sullivan.
And he did Ed Sullivan. He did Topo Gigio.
Oh, God.
He did Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis.
Oh, wow. Going further back than Rich Little. I didn't think that was humanly possible.
And the camera was not on Letterman, obviously, while John Biner, this old time... I mean, how do we explain to people...
Did you see the other guy the other night, the first night of Impressionist Week that was on there?
I fast-forwarded through him.
I know this is radio and it's TV, but and you try not to get jealous of people. The guy that did Everybody Loves Raymond, that did Ray Romano and Brad Garrett together...
I wonder where you thought of that, Mike.
who the hell knows? But he was a skinny guy.
Well, at least if Letterman had a guy on the other night that was doing something that was somewhat relevant, it's mild. This guy, John Biner, was...
He was funny in the day.
Yeah, but
he was not funny for...
he did impressions, but didn't he do other stuff too? I mean, he was
he had a variety show.
Yeah,
a
variety show. Right.
But the thing is towards the end, he was the be all end all Sullivan impersonator. But it's sad that he's still doing it 40 years later.
He also had a situation with a heckler where he had a meltdown. It was years ago. I remember reading about this, that he had a meltdown with a heckler. It was something where he did not handle the adversity very well. And he was a big walk-offer.
There was the stabbing.
Well, I know that we're talking about people here that most people don't know. Right. This guy, John Beiner, back in the 70s was a big impressionist.
Right.
Watch the Letterman from last night, and it'll make you wish that you could hear this.
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters?
Oh, dear.
From Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Now that... I mean, really, Mike, you watch it. It's what you do for a living.
I was actually waiting this week because there's only one person I'm interested in seeing. Mm. You know, you said that Rich Little was my idol. That's
not true.
No, it's Joe Piscopo, who is on tonight, I believe. I think it's Piscopo tonight.
Who does Joe Piscopo do an impression of?
Frank Sinatra is his go-to impression.
I forgot that. I saw him one time on TV saying that.
Yeah.
And I'm proud to tell you that the Sinatra family has selected me as the official Frank Sinatra sound-alike.
What he did during the 80s, he would do Frank Sinatra, then he would go take steroids and work out, then he would do Frank Sinatra. I don't know if he ever took a steroid.
We just got a thank you note from John Beiner thanking you for saying he was relevant in the 70s.
Anyway,
might have been he had a show that actually did pretty well.
He had a variety show called Bizarre on Showtime that showed breasts. But that was like the 80s.
But they were John Beiner's breasts.
John Beiner's beautiful breasts.
About breasts, Buzz, I know you're a fan of the Penn Teller show, Bull S.
Yes.
Did you see the one about breasts this year?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God. Besides the fact that it's just a gratuitous chance to look at boobs.
Right. Penn likes that.
Right. So fantastic. And it was so instructional. I mean, every woman should watch the episode of Bull S with Penn and Teller to really explain why men like your bazoo.
Oh, goody.
So
oh.
much.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. Was it good?
Great show.
All right.
Save it.
Breasts.
Keep it forever.
We like breasts.
Did you see Penn's breasts?
Penn's breasts.
Well, every week.
Penn's breasts and his painted nail.
Ah!
Eee.
How you feeling, Buzz?
I feel great.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
In case you've just tuned in, we almost lost Buzz earlier.
Yes.
When he OD'd on Metamucil.
Yeah.
That's right.
No. Buzz is actually at the conclusion of the show going to have his photograph placed on the Wall of Martyrs, and it's going to be very special.
Line up, Virgin.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Virgin.
Hello.
I saw that last night, and all it seemed like was the only time they could make it relevant was to say, we're in the Ed Sullivan Theater, and he does the best Ed Sullivan. Otherwise, everything was from 40 years ago.
Yeah, and like the audience wasn't laughing, and at the end when they go to Letterman, and he's doing like this, like, yeah.
He looked deer in the headlights like...
Was he sitting at the desk, or did he come over and say hello?
Letterman's sitting down, and he's like...
Oh, because he walked over to the other guy.
He eventually does.
Right.
But it's just that, like, he's looking around at people like, can we cut this out of the show tonight?
Oh, God, that is sad.
That bad.
That is so sad and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why they don't put you on that goddamn show.
Well, I don't do faces. I don't do the face. I do contorted faces in here when I'm trying to get into a character, but I don't do, all those guys. Do you ever see those guys? And this is why I like what I do. I love what I do because those guys, they all have to do the goofy, with the eyebrows and stuff. And I've never been about doing that. I like to focus on the voice.
Yeah, but like if you ever saw Frank do his live show. When Caliendo does, he doesn't put on the costumes.
No, he puts on the makeup. He puts on the makeup. No, I mean, Matt, and he puts on the hair.
No, at his live show, he does.
He doesn't do that.
No, it's just Frank Caliendo.
Okay.
And you do this thing with your eyes when you do Jeff Goldblum.
Right.
You look just like him, even though physically you don't.
This is true.
It's convincing.
Well, we're the same height and weight.
You could probably do it.
Outside of that, the hair color is different.
I told you.
Between me and Jeff Goldblum.
Stop fixating on your slim waistline.
That's right.
No, but it is a different deal. It is a different deal. And a lot of guys that do that for a living, with stand-up, they do it, they get the look. I mean, Rich Little, is not the icon of impressionists, but you have to realize.
He's your idol, Mike.
My idol. He gets into the whole, facial contortion and, it's a different deal.
Anyway, watch it tonight when you get home.
Actually, I'll do it if Letterman asks me, though. Yeah, right. I'll do it behind, like, a black screen.
Telephone.
I'll do it in, I'll do it actually, you know, with silhouette, in total silhouette. Well, now, you know the one thing that we did years ago when we had that horrible television show?
What, our Channel 9 video show?
The horrible television show, and I always, the thing I would have loved to do, and then...
Kill ourselves as soon as the first episode aired?
No, we were trying to figure out a way to translate the impressions to television.
Oh, right.
And I went back, and yet we got giant posters of, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger, mm-hmm. and did that behind the picture, but the mouth hole wasn't cut out. And then years later, when I saw Conan O'Brien do that, where he brings the TV screen down, and he has some guy... You know, you can see sometimes he's doing a guy that doesn't have a mustache, but the guy that's doing the impression has a mustache. I love watching that.
The best Conan O'Brien mouth, I think you probably agree, was when Clinton was in the news all the time.
Clinton and the guy does Bob Dole, too, which was hysterical when they were running, when he was running for president. It was so, because you just see the tight lip. And in the mouth, the thing I love about it, the mouth really physically does not resemble
the face at all.
Right. But he's doing the mouth, that's all the guy is thinking about, and it's hysterical. I still love that bit. I really do.
Buzz, how do you feel about the mouth?
I'm in favor of it.
How about the throat?
I'm very much in favor of that.
Very good.
How about your rectum?
Well, I'd be lost without it.
You know, you have a very understated way of speaking today, which, is a style you might want to incorporate into, even when you get healthy again.
Yeah, I like it.
It's kind of that little lilt at the end that I hear, I would be lost without it.
Oh, there's a little Jeff Goldblum in my
head. I'd be lost without it. I'm Buzz Burbank.
Look at his eyes.
Yeah, my eyes. I'll pause.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, my friend, I am a supporter of the gay community. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys. I have been to several Elton John concerts.
What does that mean? Elton
John is a gay.
The Don and Mike Show.
I am too sexy for my love.
Gay, 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 gay.
For my love, love's going to leave.
Gay, 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 gay.
Thompson saying Don and Mike are a gay.
He's a fag.
Right.
Like foul-mouthed bobblehead doll. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Which cheese do you prefer?
Just ahead of the Craig Wilson thing tonight.
That's so sick.
Buzz, who's still here even though he's got half a voice.
That's a fighter.
We thank you for that, Buzz. Buzz the Martyr.
Sexy.
Just did the IMDb thing on John Biner.
Mm-hmm.
Great history. Every variety show ever done, he was on.
Yeah, the Captain and Tennille in Hawaii, the Captain and Tennille in New Orleans.
They loved him.
Brady Bunch, Good Time Hour.
There it is.
Oh, Mike Douglas, Johnny Carson, all
those. Yeah, all of those. And Rob was just on the Letterman Show website,
mm-hmm.
where they have video of his performance from last night.
I'm going to watch it as soon as I get home.
Oh, it makes my back hurt.
Really?
Yeah, it really does. No. You know what his leadoff impression was? Well, he did Sullivan to set up the impression.
Right. Everyone who's been in your studio, Dave.
His leadoff was Johnny Mathis.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, a singing impression of Johnny
Mathis. Yeah, and it was, it just hurt.
I ask you not, it's awful.
Oh, damn.
It's awful. You know what's great is Craig Wilson.
He is wonderful.
Always.
Now, once again this week he comes through. But it's not an over-the-top, hit-you-over-the-head-with-it. It's a rather subtle Craig Wilson.
So you're going to have to read into it a little bit.
Well, it's got a lot to do about boys.
Very good. I don't think we're going to need any help.
You got your copy?
I don't have my copy, do I?
I left it over there.
Oh, it's over here.
On
the internet. Yes, there it is. I have it right here. Yeah.
Well, without further ado, it's Wednesday. Hey, what is it, Billy? Not Rabbit, Rabbit, Rabbit Day. Was it May 2nd? Today's USA Today. The Final Word by Craig Wilson.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
Maybe it's time
trying to forget
to let boys
be boys.
Feelings
outside.
An Englishman is in the States this week with a plan to rescue the all-American boy from a life of video game mindlessness.
Whether he'll succeed is anyone's guess, but you have to admire him for trying. Mad Dog's an Englishman, as they say.
Oh.
Con Eglinton is a co-author with his brother Hal of the dangerous book for boys.
Wow. See, it's like a slow burn.
Yeah.
A surprise bestseller in England for almost a year now. The Dangerous Book for Boys is now on sale here.
Eagledon Dunstan is making the rounds, reciting his boys should be boys mantra everywhere, from the Today Show to the Colbert Report to the L.L. Bean flagship store in Freeport, Maine.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
It's a sad state of affairs that such a book had to be written in the first place. But bless the Eagledon brothers for doing so. And for giving us such a perfect title. Nothing.
It hit the bell.
Nothing titillates the boy more than the hint of danger, real or imagined.
The only thing missing is a chapter on what this thing called sex is all about.
Oh, God.
But hey, you can't have everything. Sometimes knowing how to set a good tripwire can be just as useful, boy.
The book's premiere, excuse me, the book's premise. It starts out again. Hi, I'm Craig Wilson. The book's premise is simple. Want to know how to make a slingshot? A water bomb? Want to decipher codes or write with invisible ink? It's all there for the young male mind to devour and digest. The authors dubbed these activities the mysteries and adventures of childhood.
The book is a collection of things the siblings say they wanted to know more about when they were boys. The result is a hands-on guide that warns boys that they may even get knocked about in the process. I know, it's shocking in this world of pampered and overly protected children.
My brother and I didn't have...
You, I don't even know what it says. You win.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
My brother and I didn't have such a book growing up. Maybe we didn't need it. Life seemed more make-do and hands-off back then. Our mother would usher us out the door in the morning. And we didn't return till dinner. What we did in between was a mystery to both her and us. We even got into trouble on occasion, boy.
I'd like to think there are boys in America who lead such a still life. Yes?
Hold on. I just ran ahead.
Mike has the slam dunk line of the column coming up.
I'll start again. I'd like to think there are boys in America who lead such a life still. Not a still life. Their days filled with endless possibilities. Boys whose minds and bodies both wander.
God damn. Today, however, most American boys was over scheduled and went out at soccer or baseball practice. He's sitting on the sofa playing video games on the TV. Even as the sun shines outside, products of the we need our kids to be occupied at all times generation.
Most of us of a certain age, of course, were not allowed to be inside when the sun was shining.
Did we turn out better because of it? Who knows, boy?
But I do remember a treehouse that allowed me to sit in the sky. A makeshift covered wagon that carried me to the edge of the lawn. A rowboat that floated me out to an island in the middle of the creek. An island we conquered. Let's go out and conquer the island. Mom said we shouldn't. An island we conquered over and over and over again. We fought foes both real and imagined. And without any casualties on our side, I might add.
We had to entertain ourselves.
rather than be entertained. We had to fill time rather than have it filled for us. We even battled boredom more than once. And won.
Imagine that.
Boys will be boys.
What a queen.
Yes, sir.
I swear to God.
Voices, minds, and bodies both wander.
That's right.
Nothing titillates the boy more than the hint of danger. Real or imagined.
Pampered, overprotected children. Mother would walk us to the door.
Mother.
Boys whose minds and bodies both wander.
What we did in between was a mystery to both her and us.
An island we conquered over and over and over again.
Read between the lines, people.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
Oh, you know, I like the ones that don't hit us over the head with them. I like them better. Perfect. I actually do.
Subtle, Mike.
They're very subtle. Subtle touch, a subtle look, and subtle glance.
And now, speaking of boys.
Yes, boys will be boys.
Hello, boy.
Hello, boys.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
All right, we're here with the Metamucil Man.
Right.
He's Murder Boy.
And he's got, Charlie's got the news and comments. Now, are you sure that you are up for these next two segments vocally?
I'm up for it. If you can stand it, I can do it. I'm ready. Ready to go. Tearing out of the gate.
Okay. All right, Buzz.
I think he'll be able to do it. I have so. Faith. I'm looking forward to it.
I don't know. Buzz, I'm like everyone. What? I hear you, and I think you should just run home and just keep your voice quiet.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe you should sign the news.
I wish I could.
You don't know sign language.
I wish that would work on radio.
All right. Well, Buzz is here.
Yes,
we're going to deal with the hand we're dealt.
Right.
That's what we're going
to
do.
That's what Dennis had to do.
Mine. But I guarantee one thing.
What's that?
We will make it entertaining.
We'll be right back, boy.
All right.
Boy.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The word from Planet Crespa.
The Don and Mike Show.
Your source for warmth. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, time for Buzzy's News now. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Did you take a hit of your thing?
I did. Every 15 minutes.
Buzz brought to you by eDiamonds.com. Find the little brilliance with a pair of diamond stud earrings from eDiamonds.com. That's www.e-diamonds.com. Or call 1-800-HER-LOVE.
Love.
The tapes. I just want to make sure you heard all of the tapes before we get to Buzz's news today.
Yes.
Oh, the stupidest part last night of American Idol.
Oh,
really?
God. Oh, you're right
about
that.
The stupidest part.
Good evening. Laura and I are pleased to join you tonight and thank you for raising millions of dollars for children living in poverty in America and Africa.
And why does he slurp Bono?
I think Bono's been to the White House, right? I mean, he's all about Bono.
Yes, I know, but listen as he says, I want to thank all the celebrities. Especially Bono.
I think it's just good that he didn't say Bono.
Because of your generosity, African children will receive bed nets to protect against malaria, and some of America's poorest children will get medical care and healthy food.
We thank all the American Idol viewers who have shown the good heart of America. And we thank all the celebrities who participated, including Bono, and all the contestants who sang their hearts out for these children. Say, Laura, you think I ought to sing something?
I don't know, darling. They've already seen you dance.
Thanks. God bless.
He's mentally retarded. He's mentally retarded. He's mentally retarded. He's mentally retarded. He's mentally retarded.
That's what the presidency has become now?
I don't know, darling.
A shot on American Idol?
No, that was actually John Viner.
I don't know. I am reading from a teleprompter. She looked good.
She read worse than him.
She did read worse than him. She's a librarian.
She's so affable.
She should know better.
Very affable.
I do love all the rumors about her hooving in the White House, though. That she smokes nonstop in the White House.
Huh. That is her way of compensating for the stress.
Let's see. Also from a last night on American Idol, there's the moment when Simon planted one on Kiki.
Yeah. Lip to lip.
Lakeisha, I actually could kiss you after that.
so they bring her down.
Did you see that tongue action?
My God, I thought I was watching a porno.
It was truly amazing.
I thought Lakeisha was going to get pregnant just from kissing Simon.
It was fantastic.
And really, didn't he look like he had just eaten a glazed donut? He had.
He did. He had the lip gloss all,
lip
over,
gloss all over his mouth.
I like the part where he kissed Blake, too. That was a lot of fun.
And let me see. Oprah. God, we got a lot of tape of Oprah today, too.
She was what the hell is this?
Oh, she was on Larry King?
Yeah.
When is Katie Couric doing her big thing with Larry King?
I do not know.
Is it tonight? I know that
for big porno.
The 50th anniversary of him.
Is that still going on?
Well,
it's the world's longest celebration.
It was postponed because of the Virginia Tech thing.
I'm Larry King. Damn that Virginia Tech thing.
I think maybe it's tonight that Katie Couric is turning the tables on him and will be interviewing Larry Zeiger.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He loves it. You know, he loves every single minute of it.
Oprah.
I'm curious.
Oprah. Let me just hear Oprah say she has no opinion on Imus. Right.
My read on the Imus story is that, first of all, I felt as Vivian Stringer, the coach, felt. You know, I didn't have any great ideas about whether he should or shouldn't be fired. I thought that would be left up to his bosses, who have obviously decided that was what should happen. I know that, you know, I have my own radio channel, and if somebody on my radio channel had made such degrading remarks, I would have fired. But I wasn't.
Sam, if she does have an opinion, shut up.
You know, Oprah does a little bit of the Madonna thing, does a little bit of the Queen speak. You know, you're just a little elitist.
Madonna. Oprah's got her three speak.
Mm-hmm.
Oprah's got her regular, I'm going to talk to everybody on the show speak.
Right, right.
Then when she needs to, she has her black speak.
Yes, she does.
And you're right. Now she's
and then
got her,
she does,
her,
I am going to comment. I felt as the
her
coach
affected
did.
Speech.
Just slightly. I am above it all, flying above it all. Yes, Siri. I am Oprah. I'm Queen Oprah.
Hold on. What is this one? Going from poor to rich is the best, says Oprah.
What is it like to be very poor?
Yeah.
And then very rich. I mean,
it's the best.
Shut up.
Isn't that cute? Yeah. Boy, you've endeared yourself to the nation now.
Yeah. Hard-hitting question by Zeiger as well.
Well, so you were poor, right?
Money's good, right?
Did it make you feel, when you got your money, did it make you feel happy? Was it a happy feeling?
Poor is bad, right?
Very, very poor.
Can you buy things with money?
You get to live better, don't you, most times?
Goods and services?
Money, it comes in paper form and coins, right?
When you're really, really rich, do you get to go to any restaurant you want?
For breakfast.
For breakfast.
Hi there, Buzz. Well, those are all the tapes. I think we've heard just about everything, right? Well, what's that one?
That's a quickie. Okay,
all right.
It surprised me how quickly the conversation turned to sex.
Oh, that is a good one.
Who's talking?
That's Miss America.
Oh, the lady that entrapped the predators?
Yeah, that's bad, right?
Or I should say, like Oprah, you mean the lady that entrapped the predators?
All right, well, now let's have some goo.
What glorious goo.
Sexual predators are bad, right?
Here's Buzz.
Metamucil is bad, right?
It can blow you up.
You take too much of it, that's right.
Metamucil may make your stomach explode like a big sponge.
Look at the sponge.
O.D. That's true.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Don. I'm Mike. As I try to find my stride here, let me find my voice if I could. A couple of late-breaking items that I don't have stories for. And they don't have anything to do with each other, but they're kind of interesting. Joey Pants from The Sopranos is apparently becoming a spokesman for bipolar disorder. That's like manic depressive.
Joe Pantolantonio?
That's the one.
Right.
Next item. Former New Jersey Governor Jim McGreevy has apparently entered seminary to become an Episcopal priest.
Faggot.
And,
homo.
And my third...
Gay.
Final odd item is a train carrying parts of the space shuttle's solid rocket booster.
Oh, you sounded good there, Buzz.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, dear.
Let me try to go lower.
You know what I know Rob's kids love is that movie, The Bipolar Express.
Tom Hanks plays all the characters.
Kids love it.
One
it's wonderful.
One character is nice, one's a real dick.
Anyway, now that he's had the entire show to rest his voice to show us...
You're not getting any presents on the Bipolar Express.
And show us that he's really ready. We know in your heart...
You're going to leave town on a rail.
Let's hear it now. Let's have some news.
All right. A train carrying parts of the space shuttle's solid rocket booster derailed today in Alabama. What is it with the shuttle program? When technologies collide, that's right, a train derailed with a space shuttle's rocket booster on it today. No one was injured, but what could possibly go wrong?
Why don't they just fly it to wherever it has to go? It's got the big boosters.
You know, the thing about you, Buzz, is that when you're regular Buzz, when you're not Metamucil voice Buzz, when you do your delivery and the way that you write and present your material, it's always done in that smart-ass, like, what could go wrong,
right?
But because you can't make the proper inflections,
it sounds like news from a hospice.
Exactly, Mike.
All right.
Exactly.
But that's, I mean, in a good way.
Of course. Well, what other way is there?
Hospice FM.
Hospice news.
That's right.
So, what's next on the hottest of all hospice
news? Your chicken dinner is trying to kill you. I don't want to alarm
anybody. See, he's not trying. I got to give him credit. That even when he's in this depleted condition, he is still trying to terrify the country.
Yeah, I'm just not forcing it like I usually do. Some of the same liver-killing pet food that wiped out thousands of American dogs and cats has also made its way into the bellies of chickens. Millions of chickens in Indiana were fed the same pet food.
Millions?
Millions. 2.5 million at one plant.
Oh, I love chicken. Who doesn't love chicken?
Everybody does.
Delicious.
And the chickens that didn't die made it to the grocery store or wherever finer chickens
are sold. I love doing to my chickens? Frying them.
Yeah.
Fried chicken's tasty, right?
Hundreds of other chicken
I like boiling mine.
May have been affected as well.
Delicious boiled chicken.
Of the top doctor at the FDA says we do not believe there is
that Buzz's Metamucil story is true.
That we don't believe there's any significant threat of human illness from this.
We're still on the chicken thing.
Yeah.
But they could. That could surface at a later date. That's what you're trying to say.
Well, again, I don't want to alarm anyone.
Yeah, not you.
In fact, the FDA guy says don't worry about it.
Chickens lay eggs, right?
And the best part of this is the contaminated ingredient in the pet food is a filler. It's a fake protein put in to boost the nutrition numbers.
Your voice, my gosh.
All part of the circle of life. And there might actually be a reason to be worried about the fact that today's marijuana is twice as strong as the weed of yesteryear. Researchers in London say the problem is not enough cannabinoids.
How do you kill a chicken?
How?
You choke it. I kind of rewrote it.
That'll work.
I like the effort, though. Thank you. Fried eggs are good, right?
You know what else is good?
What?
Riddles.
I wish everyone would just please be quiet and let the newsman
I'm
read the
sorry.
News.
I'm sorry. Yeah, enough helping. For
let's,
Christ's
let's
sake.
Just listen. Let him do the heavy lifting here, Mike.
We'll see what we can do.
Put those microphones far away.
Very far away.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Researchers in London say the problem is not enough cannabinoids to balance out the increase in THC.
What, if I listen to NPR? What is this?
Cannabinoids. No, we're talking about marijuana here.
I'm talking to Mike. I'm talking about your delivery, ass. I mean, being as the mics are really not by our face, I can speak to Mike as if you weren't here. What's up with his delivery?
I don't know what the hell. He didn't bring his A game today.
He normally comes with this whole cynical, I don't want to alarm anybody, but now it's like, I don't want to alarm anybody.
Why is he in such a bad mood?
I don't know. Freaking martyr. God.
Ridiculous.
Think of a little Metamucil just because you can't get a solid stool.
No, that wasn't, I guess that wasn't the problem.
You shouldn't be talking to us. You can't hear us.
I wonder if he would have done better if he'd used a feather.
See, cannabinoids suppress schizophrenia, and THC might actually cause it without enough cannabinoids and other ingredients to keep it in check. The British researchers say heavy THC, without the right amount of cannabinoids, affects the part of the brain that controls inappropriate behavior like swearing and paranoia. There will no doubt be other studies.
God damn it.
But if the end of the world is near, or what the heck does it matter? On June 7th, 1981, President Reagan wrote in his diary, got word of Israeli bombing of Iraq.
That's painful to listen to.
Well, then make me stop.
No, we played this game earlier today.
Okay.
Played this game earlier
today. I can't make it any less painful.
I should point out that Dennis Murphy is out in the lobby.
Jesus Christ, I hope not.
I'm a kidder.
No, Buzz, it's painful
I know.
To hear you
to
speak.
Listen to, I know.
We feel for you.
I feel for everyone who's having to listen to me.
Am I the only one who likes this?
Yeah, Rob's enjoying it.
I'm glad he does.
I think it's nice.
It's nice.
Anyway, Reagan wrote in his diary, he got word of an Israeli bombing of Iraq, the nuclear reactor, and quoting him, "I swear, I believe Armageddon is near." That's in 1981. Reagan wrote that. He only kept one diary, and that was while he was president. Diary's being published now for the first time since his concern of 16 years ago. You'll find excerpts in the new Vanity Fair, along with other highlights of recent history.
And are you like me, finding it hard to jump in and comment because of, and, you know?
Yeah, it's a painful experience for all
of
us.
It is. I mean,
it
like,
really is.
Well, if we jump in and comment, it's like, you know,
it's like we appear to be bigger bullies than we already are.
Right. It's like, why don't you just let the old man read his news?
That's not to say anything. Does it hurt to laugh?
Because you just
nothing
laugh.
Hurts. Nothing hurts. It just sounds like it hurts.
Oh, it doesn't. Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah. But
well, push harder then. No, I'm just kidding.
No. That's the only thing I can't do.
That's what they tell you not
right.
to do.
Right, yeah.
Could you sing?
Oh, no. That would be pushing too much.
All right.
Yeah. Will I ever play the piano again?
You never played it before.
It
hurts when I go like this, but don't go like that.
Don't do that, yeah.
They're not gelatinous today, though, right?
They probably are a little bit less so than they were yesterday.
Gelatinous.
No, I didn't
even... That is how Buzz described his throat to me this morning in an instant message. He said, my throat is gelatinous.
A doctor told me your vocal cords get gelatinous, soft and mushy, instead of taut and tight and vibrate-y as they normally would.
I wonder how I would have sung the national anthem if my vocal cords were gelatinous.
Well, you would have sounded like... I would trade this for phlegm. I would kill for phlegm right now.
I got news. I got time. Listen, I got a vat of it in my nose. Are you kidding? Down my throat?
How about that pollen, huh?
Oh, where would you like it, Buzz?
Right here. Right
Buzz,
now.
If you want to broker a trade, I got phlegm both ends.
Oh, that's gross.
Oh, pause.
Oh, that's going to... Man, I'm going to think about that all the way to dinner. Dinner.
Do you need a break there, Buzz?
Wait, actually, we're scheduled to take one right about now.
Oh, but you need a break, don't you?
Can I say it this time?
Sure.
Pause.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
You're listening to them. Good for you. Don and Mike.
Good for you, huh? Well, welcome back.
Welcome back to the show. Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Let's get right back to Buzz now.
You, me, Bar, Beers, Buzz.
Hey, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, you're in the home stretch now.
Yeah, I know. I just got a call from my doctor during the break.
You're doing good, Barbara.
He listens to the show. And he called me up and he said, hey, you sound awful.
That's all he had to say?
No.
That's right.
Actually, he said that he thinks I'm on the right treatment path and he's got maybe some more ideas in mind and that I should give him a call, so I will.
Is your doctor listening right now?
Yeah, I believe he is, yeah.
Hey, dumbass.
No, don't call him that.
No, I'm dumbass. Why did you tell Buzz to stay at home today? Jesus Christ, listen to him.
No,
yeah, don't lay it on us.
No, this is the first he's heard me because I was not able to see him today. I saw other doctors in his office.
What was he golfing?
I don't know.
The other doctor...
Well, golfing. Yeah, no, that's a stereotype, bro.
The other doctors are just as qualified as your doctor?
I would think so, yes. I believe they are.
Did anyone put on a rubber glove when they were seeing you?
No, they put it on when they see me coming.
They should have their license taken away.
No, they sent you
in today to work, and look at you. Obviously, you're not... You have the will.
Yes, I do.
You just do not have the...
The tools.
The tools to do it,
That's
to
right.
get it done.
That's right.
But I think they should see, they should see somebody on the radio. That guy that does that show, Mel. Mel Practice.
No. Stop that. These are very kind, professional people.
Yeah.
Who think I sound terrible?
Yeah. And did the doctor say to you, why are you at work?
No, he did not. I don't think he's all that concerned about it. And what I hear from all the other doctors is they're really...
Hold on. Make up your mind. Did he say that you sound terrible?
When he was coming back from the beach, because he wasn't at the office. He said I sounded terrible. He didn't say I shouldn't talk.
Really? You sure he might not have been... If he wasn't at the office today, perhaps he was drinking.
No. I don't...
Drinking heavily at some location.
He's just drinking.
You know, really all liquored up. You know how doctors get all liquored up all the time.
There you go with the stereotype.
They do. They drink. They smoke. They do everything. Yeah. They do everything. They do. And they eat Krispy Kreme donuts. They do everything.
I see what happens.
Right. They don't care. They don't really care about us. That's what House is all about. House doesn't really care.
Buzz's crippled doctor.
What's going on?
Oh.
Hi, I'm Greg House.
That's my doctor, Dr. House.
I'd love to have a doctor like Greg House.
Oh, he's fun, isn't he?
I really would.
Yeah, and then you get Wednesdays off.
So your doctor's listening to the show, and he says, boy, you sound awful.
So you sound awful. He said, but I think you're on the right treatment track. Give me a call. I can think I can help you even more.
Take 2 teaspoonfuls of Metamucil and call me in the morning.
No, no.
Ignore all cramping.
He wouldn't advise that at this point.
He probably should stay away from the over-the-counter stuff. Use those, use those prescription fiber supplements.
Oh.
Those heavy ones.
Yeah.
With the childproof cap.
Yeah, I tell you, you get a hell of a BM with those.
Oh, they're fantastic.
My God.
That's right. And you don't drink it. And it doesn't taste like orange. It's real stuff. It's the real deal. It's heavy. And you don't take it orally.
And the thing is, it's later really, I mean, I know it's a saying, but it's like, boy, that's a brick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's phenomenal.
I mean, really, yeah. You could build a house for one of the three little pigs.
It's funny about this.
It's a little painful going in. It's made out of pine cones and a space-age polymer.
Ouch. What's fun about this is I think this may be the first my doctor's hearing about the Metamucil connection.
Oh.
And so he may have no idea what we're talking about.
Well, it's always important to be honest with your doctors, Buzz.
Well, this is the first chance I've had to talk with him, and I didn't have a lot of time.
Well, if he is listening, I would urge him to maybe read up on eating disorders.
Let him know. Seriously.
Yeah.
Is it the doctor that we know, or is it another doctor?
No, this is a different doctor.
Okay. Oh, not the one. That's why we were being so nasty.
No, Dr. Monday.
I thought it was the one we knew.
Won't see me anymore.
Because the one that we know certainly would not treat you that way.
No.
The one that we know would have said to you, get your ass in bed.
Right.
You know, or go home and take it easy.
Actually, I spoke with him, your doctor, as well as my doctor.
Well, the one that we know says, get your ass in bed, whether we're healthy or not.
Hey!
Because he's all about making a profit.
That's right. That doctor is. Not all doctors. But.
Have you thought about therapeutic massage?
Oh, I'm up for it.
All day.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if you just hummed all day?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that would soothe it.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
See how good that sounds?
That's the only note I can hit.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good.
Doesn't that sound terrific?
Yeah, that's
I think we're almost there.
Yeah, better than that. Greg, that's uncalled for.
Sounds good. All right, well, what's the next one there, Scratchy?
See what you did?
I'm itchy.
You made my voice go up.
You're Scratchy.
I can't talk that high normally. President.
It's fun, isn't it, Buzz?
Sure is. President Bush yesterday vetoed a military funding bill that laid out a timetable.
Golly, Pee Wee Herman.
Getting the troops out of Iraq.
Mr. Herman.
I know you, Herman. What am I?
AJ, Mr. Herman.
Pelosi says the lawmakers will work with the president to find common ground, but she says right now there's a great distance between them. Harry Reid said if the president thinks by vetoing this bill it'll stop us from working to change the direction of the war, he's mistaken, but... Actions speak louder than words. This afternoon, the House failed.
Buzz, every doctor in the world has just called in to say you sound awful.
Well,
hey, Buzz.
It's unanimous, yeah.
At your house, do you have a gravel driveway?
Only in the last couple of days.
Okay.
Anyway, the House failed to override the president's veto.
Maybe, Buzz, if you're hungry, you could eat some raspberries.
Oh, God.
Oh, come on, Rob.
Jeez.
God, that blows.
That does.
All right, back to Buzz, then.
You threw that one out too quick.
Okay, well, on the other hand,
yeah, we're doing the best we can here. We're doing the work. We're baby stepping.
It's that or me.
Mm-hmm.
News directors, the newspaper
when
editors.
When I'm calling you.
little nervous about the list from the D.C. Madam. That list is coming out Friday night, and it contains some powerful names. Bureau chief of the Chicago Tribune says, if even one of those names is wrong and you print it, how do you unring that bell?
And he prefers to be treated like a dog,
so
and also a toilet.
Is there anybody on that madam list? Is there anybody that's, like some sort of secret contact?
George Michael. Do
they have any kind of deep throat or anything?
George Michael.
Of the list reportedly.
I keep giving you the answer.
George Michael 803.
George Michael.
I just did a gay George Michael.
Well, there is a gay George Michael.
Actually, there
sure is.
Mine, just not the one that does the
wham.
Perhaps he's bi.
Bi?
Maybe.
The list reportedly includes a Bush administration economist, the head of a conservative think tank, a prominent CEO, several lobbyists, and a handful of military officials.
Anybody else better than that?
No, I think that's about it.
Okay.
But, you know, it's going to depend on the names, right?
Mm-hmm. If any of those clients are out there Buzz does commercials for, how's my voice sound to you today, huh?
You know, this might be your opportunity. The door is open right now.
Acura.
There you go.
Bradley Acura.
You're stealing my game, man.
Acura.
That's a new and unique delivery for that commercial.
Acura.
Mm-hmm. Dad, do the plumber thing. Call my plumber.
My plumber. Because I'm nice.
There it is.
My toilet's clogged.
Buzz, the accounts are in jeopardy.
Yeah, I can see that.
Metamucil.
Mm-hmm. That'll be my new product.
I'm Buzz Burbank for Metamucil. Take two doses of it, and it expands your stomach this much.
That's right.
And then you will force yourself to vomit to the point where you screw up your throat and make it gelatinous.
That's right. And you've recounted it precisely.
But it's not... By talking, you are not making it more gelatinous.
This is what I hear. It's just a matter of time.
And that's a change from...
It's all about time and steroids.
It's all about time.
Right.
It's about time. It's about space.
It's about your ugly face. You never heard that one?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, rubber balls and liquor.
Know it well. A new study says ref calls in the NBA may be racially biased.
I heard this today. This to me is absolutely insane.
Academic study calls from 1991 to 04 and found that white referees called more fouls against black players than against white ones. In fact, they found black refs did the same thing, just not as much.
Well, wait a minute. Nobody has even mentioned this. Aren't there more black players than white players in the NBA?
It's all about ratio.
So the odds, it's ratio?
Ratio. Poor ratio.
Mm-hmm.
The study says it happened enough to actually affect the outcomes of games.
If your throat's not doing well, why don't you reach out to me? H. Horatio Kane.
The NBA says it did its own study and found no signs of racial bias.
I have a name like a pirate.
And finally, after Sunday's graduation ceremony, Concordia College, Moorhead, Minnesota, 200 students decided to go skinny dipping in the campus pond.
I just want to come over there and just rustle your hair.
I know you
do. You little sick guy.
I know you
want to tuck you in your 99 to your bed with a...
His footy pajamas?
Yeah, in the bed with the sides.
So yes.
You'll roll out and give yourself the...
Is that a kid's bed or a bed or a medical bed?
Jimmy head or whatever it is. Yeah, it's a kiddie bed, Mike.
Do you want a children's Tylenol?
Yeah, I'll take several.
Okay, no problem.
Anyway, it shook up a security officer.
Poor little guy. Put on his grown-up suit and drove his grown-up car to work today.
Yeah, when he really wants to be back in his, his football-themed bedroom, with the sheets, the sheets and the blankets with the names of his favorite teams.
Monkeys.
Hey, that's not funny.
I have monkeys.
Oh, I heard something today that I'm looking forward to in the days to come, though.
What?
Speaking of football products, it's just a fashion item I heard about somebody that might be wearing a certain fashion, making a fashion statement in the days to come, and I am personally looking forward to it.
Yeah, one of those faggot shoes I hate that my grandkids wear all the time.
Oh, Crocs.
Yeah. My girlfriend got me some Packers Crocs.
Is there a chance, could I appeal on behalf of all of our listeners that we get a photo and put it on the website as soon as
you... Of course, you bet.
Thank you very much.
Along with my new beautiful feet. You want to see that on our website, don't you?
You'll be wearing the Crocs barefoot.
There's only one toe out of the 10 now that I would really call disease.
Just keep that toe away from your throat.
I think we're done here.
Oh, God, we are.
Okay. I'm sorry, we're out of time. Just save your voice. Mike and I will be back tomorrow.
Yeah. Safe home, Buzz.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Bye.
And head...
I feel a little crampy. Come on, come
on, come on, come on. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye, Buzz.
This is the Don and Mike Show.